welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. I'll tell you what's going on today, but I don't have my rundown sheet. We're having a little problem with our printer, so let's see. You call in, I make fun of you. That's as much as I know.
That's a given.
That's much I know. Brian plays a drop of Fuelhauser. I got that. This is amazing. So far, that's the show. I think Sean Wayans is coming in.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
I know. The Wayans brothers. And also, I think we're going to get to something we didn't get to yesterday, which was our best song. Now, what list was this with the best songs of the 80s?
It's the VH1 100 Greatest Songs of the 80s.
I am prepared to be thoroughly nauseated.
You will be so sickened by the number of Prince songs alone.
As I've said, go back and listen to your precious Prince and tell me how he sounds, and then go back and listen to Elvis Costello or Joe Jackson or someone like that. You tell me how they hold up. John Hyatt, Graham Parker. Listen to those guys from the 80s. Then go back and listen to your Prince stuff.
Not there, but Kajagoogoo and Wham.
Ugh. I brought in my own. I brought in my own 80s songs. I burned them. I burned the midnight oil and worked late into the night last night, and I put together my 80s top 10 hits. So I'll let you know what those aren't, as my wife pointed out, as I was yelling at her to burn me a disc because I don't know what to do. She said, no one knows those songs. I said, that's right. That's why I got a goddamn radio show, so I can play good music and make people understand and listen to it. I don't want to play the same crap. That's the problem. That's why I got the microphone. I want to play them the good stuff. It's clearly better than the junk that's going to be on this VH1 list, no doubt about it. And the fact that no one knows it is a good thing to me. Although you probably will know some of the songs that I did. All right, or that I brought in. So, the Devil's also going to call in at some point.
Oh, for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adam, by the way,
yes.
I know it's Halloween, but nobody said you had to wear a costume.
Damn! Oh, that was good. Oh, Dave. Dave's running around the studio. He's left
What's
the studio.
That?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It's good stuff.
Good Christ, I'm gay.
Well, if he ran out of the studio every time he made a joke that funny, he'd never even be in here.
That's true. He would have circled the globe by now. The Pittsburgh Penguins speaks again. All right. Also, we'll talk some Halloween talk. I thought we should all think of a scary story from Halloween. I thought of a few. I'll start with my least scariest, and then at some point before today, I'll work up to actual death.
And then at some point before it gets ugly, will you tell me what the babies are dressing up as today?
Ooh, yeah, write that down.
I want to know.
Got to tell you about that. I'm from North Hollywood, and we don't have ghosts in North Hollywood. I know people that grew up in Louisiana, and they saw ghosts throughout their childhood, and then they ask if I've seen any ghosts, and no. We got, you know, strip malls, and we have scary foreigners behind lucite glass, and we have crappy architecture and aluminum windows and stucco with the little shiny flakes in it, but we don't really have ghosts. It all depends where you're from. If you're from a place with ghosts, if you're some island chain where they're into Santeria, then you see ghosts. If you grow up, like I said, in North Hollywood with your buddies Ray and Chris and everyone lives in a crappy apartment, there's no ghosts. That's how I know. It's ghosts are sort of like religion. You'll not be a Mormon unless you grow up in Utah to a Mormon family. Other than that, it doesn't make any sense to you. This is how I know it's all a crock. Wherever you grow up, whoever your parents are, whatever they ram down your throat, that's what you buy. And if you grow up in a place that's in the ghost, then you will see ghosts. And if you grow up in a place where they don't exist and there's no discussion of them, then you'll never see one. But I still did have a weird thing happen to me, and this was as an adult. As a matter of fact, it was about 5 years ago or so. What was that movie, The Ring? Is that The Ring where the TV set was telling you to kill?
Yeah, Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts. Yeah, the TV set in the movie The Ring, the TV set would tell you to kill. It would, you'd pop in this tape and the TV set would light up on its own.
No, it would kill you is what would happen.
TV set would kill you.
Right.
Yes, it wouldn't tell you to kill, but when you saw what was on the screen, you would be dead moments later or something like that.
You had 1 week to live, I believe.
TV would come on by itself, and the next thing you know, you were gone. Well, I saw that movie, Powerful
exactly,
stuff.
But continue. You have to put the tape in. You have to go out of your way to see it. But either way, I don't want to disrupt.
Oh, yes. You put the tape in, and then you're dead. But you wouldn't go. Would you go turn the TV on, or would it just come on?
No, you had to put the videotape in. That was the thing. You were willfully choosing to look at this business.
Uh-huh. Well, and either way, from staring at the screen, which has had all sorts of images and stuff on it, you would then die in a week. I didn't follow it too closely, but I did see it, and I did see it when it came out, and I did see it in the evening over at the Arclight Theater, and, oh, it was a rainy evening, and thank you, Brian, and the wind was blowing. What? Wrong one. There we go.
Haunted soundboard.
There we go. There we go. And I went and saw the movie. The movie was pretty scary. I mean, it was not one of the all-time thrillers, but definitely had you scared. And I went to bed that evening, of course, with The Ring. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I always want to call it The Circle. With The Ring on my mind. And then in the evening, and I mean early morning, more like about 4 a.m. or so, I heard noises coming from my living room, and I heard a man's voice coming from my living room. And it was a deep, sort of authoritative man's voice. And it was like, oh, hey, hey. It sounded like a big drunk guy was in my living room. And my living room, this is at the old house I lived in, has wood floors and a high vaulted ceiling. And it was almost, and it sort of stepped down. It's almost like a little cathedral, just a big, open, expansive place. And, it was, oh, hey. And a staircase from my bedroom leads right into the mouth of the living room. So as you're walking down the stairs, you'll see the living room, if you can picture that, Dave. Mm-hmm. And I heard this big voice. I was just lying in bed thinking, who's in my house? And so I got out and went out of my bedroom, and I started creeping down the stairs, and I could see or hear, at least the noise was coming from the living room. It was getting louder as I was heading down the stairs. And then I could see that the living room was sort of illuminated, even though there was no lights on in the house. It seemed to be illuminated, and I started to walk, and I realized I had a 42-inch plasma TV set put up above the threshold was on the wall above where you walked into the living room. Where you walked into the living room, you'd walk under a thing that was about 8 foot high, but the ceiling was like 12 feet high. And there was a big plasma set on that. But when you were standing in the other part of the house, you couldn't see the plasma because it was on the wall, not the one that you could see, but the one that was closest to you. And this TV had fired up on its own at 4 a.m., and the light was flickering. And I couldn't, from where I was standing, I wasn't quite sure if it was the TV that was lighting the room up. I just heard I heard the voice. Now, the set was turned all the way up because the last time I watched it, I was skipping rope in the living room and facing the TV set. And when you're skipping rope, it's like, makes so much noise with the jumping up and down and everything that unless you turn it all the way up, you can't hear the news or whatever I was watching. So I had the TV. The TV was at full volume, which seems really loud then when you're not skipping rope and it's 4 a.m., and there was a televangelist up there, but one of the unrecognizable ones, which made it more scary, and he was just a big 50-something-year-old white guy with a huge head, and he was yelling. It was like fire and brimstone kind of stuff, and he was like, "You people, you sinners need to repent. And you come into my house and you attempt to worship." And I just had this movie was just burned into my skull just about 5 hours earlier at the movie theater. And I went into the living room and I turned around and I was just staring at the TV set, which kicked on by itself. It was a Gateway TV, which is now burnt out because it had a function when the power would go out and go back on again, it would kick on. I don't know why it came from the shop this way. I have no idea. I've never seen another TV set that did this. But when the power kicked on and kicked back off again, and we had a lot of power outages up in the hills, it would just come on, and that's what happened. It came on, and it came on full volume, and of course it came on at 4 a.m., and I was just standing there alone in my living room just staring at this guy who was yelling at me, and it was right on the heels of this movie, and I thought, you know, I'm not much into the ghosts and the goblins, and I'm an atheist and all that kind of stuff, but I do still find it interesting that we've spun our gambling wheel and it's landed on $5,000, $5,000, $5,000, and then double $5,000 in 4 weeks. I do admit that kind of stuff goes on in life. It is an interesting part of life. Maybe it goes on all the time and it always went on, and it's just something that you happen to remember when it pertains to your life, when you're digging into your wallet or you're digging into your psyche, staring at the old evangelist who's yelling at you in your living room at 4 a.m. But I was petrified just standing there staring at the guy. And the part that was really scary is the part where I was creeping down the stairs. I saw lights flickering, the kind of thing you'd see if you were behind a big TV set in a dark room, and just one guy's voice. Now, I think to myself, if it were a commercial for the Wonder Mop, or it was the guy with the bad sweater who was trying to sell something, or just a CNN or just anything, it would have had a context. If it was a Gilligan's Island rerun, if there was a voice or a name I could have recognized, if they were talking about trouble in the Middle East or something, I could have wrapped my head about that. But this was just one man's voice I've never heard before, and he was yelling at his flock.
Making a call to God. And by the way, also interesting that it's a gateway TV, a portal to the world of ghosts and ghouls.
Ghouls.
Scary. Ghouls. Spooky.
So that is my scary story. I also wrote down a couple of movies that I thought were scary that I wasn't sure if people saw. I mean, everyone's seen The Shining, and that's a good scary movie, and Exorcist and all that. Dead Calm. It's been brought up a time or two. Nice, scary movie that I don't think people have seen. Not scary Halloween scary, just sort of thriller.
Trapped
out at
on
sea.
A boat with Nicole Kidman. And what's his name, the bad guy from Titanic?
Yeah, Zane.
Billy Zane.
Yeah, there's a good movie. And again, I'm bringing up stuff that I think you guys might not have seen. Manhunter, the original Silence of the Lambs, man movie, was a good movie. It slid under almost everyone's radar. It's one of my top movies where I say, hey, did you like Silence of the Lambs? Yep. Well, have you seen Manhunter? No, have not. Oh, that had Hannibal Lecter in it before he was in it in Silence of the Lambs. A guy, I think Brian Cox played it. He was a better Hannibal Lecter. It was as good a movie, arguably. And a lot of people, I'm seeing it, and then they go see it, and then they report back to me and get a big thumbs up on that one.
A lot of people say Brian Cox was better than Anthony
Hopkins.
I
say so, absolutely.
He's a good actor. That was from 86, I think.
He's a great actor, and they turned the later Hannibal Lecter into sort of a cartoon character. They kept him in a cave. It was dank. It was dark. It was unrealistic. I mean, a lot of movie theatrics. This one, he was in a prison, and he was even more diabolical, not in a scary physical way, but just in a ingenious kind of way.
And they kept them in a, it was very 80s, that movie. If you go and look at it, the music to it, it's Michael Mann, who, you know, from Miami Vice, everything. But the prison that he's in, Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter, is pristine white, which makes it extra spooky in a way.
Yeah, so Dead Calm, Manhunter. Here's one, Dead Zone. Remember that one, Christopher Walken?
Oh, that's a gem.
Is that a Stephen King, based on a Stephen King novel?
Yeah, that's a good movie that never gets played on cable. One day I'm going to come up with my list of movies that never get played on cable, except for I never know what they are because I watch cable. Unless they show up, I don't recognize them. But we have talked about those movies that are good movies that never show up on cable, yet, you know, on Deadly Ground, the Steven Seagal movie where he's protecting the Indians with Kung Fu is on every night and all that kind of stuff. It's really weird which ones show up and which ones don't, but Dead Zone. And then here's another weird one that I hadn't even thought about, Dreamscape. Remember that movie?
With Dennis Quaid?
Yeah, it's good for what it was. I can't even remember that much about it other than mid-early 80s and kind of scary,
cool
of a thriller.
Idea. You go into people's, you can manipulate what happens in other people's dreams and so on. Mm-hmm. Dead Zone's great, though, because this is Christopher Walken, and he grabs you. He gets in a car wreck, and he wakes up from a coma after 6 years or something, and he grabs you, and he can see into your past or your future.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of really good movies out there that obviously are not going to make their way into the theater again, people are not going to tend to pick them up on DVD when you haven't heard of them. I mean, it's not like you're going to just buy a DVD and go, I'm going to get this movie I've never heard of from 22 years ago. I feel like if they showed them on cable, they would have some sort of second life, especially the good ones like Dead Zone or Manhunter, or actually all these movies, Dead Calm, Manhunter, Dead Zone, Dreamscape for that matter, never on cable. I don't know why Dead Calm doesn't show up on cable. I don't know why Manhunter doesn't show up on cable. I don't know why it's the same rotation of the same movies that we're all really burnt out on. I don't understand how it works. But anyway, there are my Halloween tips. And again, for ones that are a little bit off the radar, no one wants to hear you recommend The Exorcist. No one wants to hear you recommend The Omen or something that everyone has seen or that everyone is aware about. See if you can get off the beaten path a little bit. Now, speaking of that, in a minute, we're going to go through our VH1 most popular 80s songs.
Yes.
They've picked them.
VH1 has picked them.
Mm-hmm.
Their so-called greatest songs.
And again, it's easy to say, oh, Michael Jordan was the best baseball player and The Exorcist was the best horror movie. No duh, Sherlock. You do the math on that one. Point is see if you can get off the beaten path a little and surprise us. Pull out something that we don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's what I try to do with my 80s picks, although these are superior songs. The thing about The Exorcist is it is the best horror movie, and the thing about Michael Jordan is he is the best. But I have songs that are better than I'm sure what's on that list, and I brought it with me, 866-901-ADAM. You can give us a call and tell us your nominations for the 80s, best of the 80s list. We'll discuss after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. VH1 just put out a list of the greatest 80s songs of all time. And chances are, they missed a few, at least according to the Ace Man. We're going to check out that list and discuss the ones we think they missed. You can call in with your favorite 80s song at 866-901-ADAM. It's The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, surprise, surprise. None of the things on my list made the 100. Look. I'm looking at this list, Teresa, and hold on one second. Eric?
Yeah?
You want to nominate the band X.
Yeah, Adam, and definitely the best punk band of the 80s.
You say and, is X. Now, X is one of those things where if you didn't grow up in California, you may not know them.
Yeah, an L.A.-based punk band.
Yes, Xene Cervenka is the lead singer, and she was with John Doe, and they had a great punk harmony. And
absolutely, DJ Bonebreak.
Yeah, she's a bitch, but I still like X, and as a matter of fact, track number 4 on my top ten, I got an X song on there.
No way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, here we go.
Awesome.
Here we go. Yeah, turn it up once over twice.
What's the name of the song?
Once over twice. Now, if you listen to the harmony when he comes in.
Heard the band X. I just heard of them.
No, they got a really unique sort of, they got great harmonies, like this part. Yeah, they have a few, they had a few hits. This was sort of one of them. All right, Eric, was that your, you satisfied, buddy?
Yeah, I'm satisfied. Thanks, Adam.
Gotta feel pretty good, right?
I guess. I love you, Teresa.
Oh, thank you. I love you, too.
Well, keep in mind, she didn't bring the X song in. That was the Ace Man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to love me less if I play you some of VH1's top. Should we hear some of their top ones?
Let's hear what they have.
Just to get a sample. Now, by the way, you should know that they came up with their best 100 from the 80s by polling people online. 40,000 people as a side
online,
note.
Online, the people you poll online are even dumber than the ones that show up.
Adam, I'm glad you said that because there is currently a bitch bag poll about whether I should participate.
It's
and
the
I
only
want
time
you to remember,
they got it right.
I want you to remember that the people that love your Kajagoogoo and your Wham are the same people. Okay, but enough about that. This is the number three best song of the 80s, according to VH1's poll. Let's take a listen.
No.
You recognize it?
Oh, yes. Now, here's the thing about Duran Duran. I've always hated Duran Duran because everyone has always loved Duran Duran. All the guys in Duran Duran are the nicest guys I've ever met. I've met them multiple times, and you're just dying for them to be a-holes, and they're really nice guys. Everybody in the band is a sweetheart, so now it's hard to say something bad about them. I understand they're very 80s, and it reminds you of the 80s, and, you know, songs like Rio and stuff that move a little better are definitely better, but this song, not a great song.
It gets kind of good right here, I have to admit.
It gets going a little...
I hate myself.
Yeah, but it's just because it reminds you of a guy with eyeshadow and those saggy pirate boots trying to get in your pants. That's why you have fond memories of it.
They were
but this
band,
is not. Yes, they're girls.
What
band.
Guy listened? I don't know any guy who likes
it. It's not real music.
Number two is a little more guy. Mm-hmm. This is the number two of all. Dave knows it. Some Sugar on Me, Def Leppard.
Yeah, the thing is these songs are bad. They're not constructed very well. They don't sound very good. They don't hold up at all.
Do you want to hear the number one song of the 80s of the entire decade?
My 80s list didn't get past March 82, by the way. I look at 80s music as 1979 to 1982. I don't count this.
Their top song is from 1986.
Mm.
Let's take a listen to the number one.
I gotta tell you, there's some songs on this list that aren't any better than this song.
Sound guy Brian having a little fun with us.
All right, let's hear number one.
It's the number one song. Taking us down first, then taking us up.
Uh-huh.
When's the up part going?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, Little Jovi. I like any song where they talk about how Guy used to do this, and then he quit, and he grabbed this old lady, and they hopped in a car, but didn't get very far.
This is Living on a Prayer from 86.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm not such a snob that I don't say there's not room on your list for this kind of music. It's its own thing. I'm fine with it. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is what it is. There's plenty of guilty pleasure music.
I am a big enough snob to say that there isn't any room.
I like it. Used to work on the docks.
A lot of guys used to work on the docks. A lot of guys named Johnny.
All right, so get back to yours.
Well, I'm looking down their list, and here's one that's in the top 10. This is Hall & Oates. I can't go for that.
No can do, in parentheses.
Are they high? What's wrong with people? I mean, you know, people, there's many ways to measure IQ. For me, this is one of them. If you think this is the top 10 of songs composed in this decade known as the 80s, then there's just something wrong with you. It's not that you have different tastes than me or different tastes than other folks you work with. You're goddamn stupid. You're just stupid. This is what a kid would like. No, I can't go for that.
No.
This is something I could crap out on a Casio in my mom's basement over a weekend, no problemo.
You're just jealous because you didn't come up with it first, dude.
I can't go for that. No can do.
Yeah, well, we have to get to the main. We have to get to the main chorus here just to see how insulting this song is.
France is all over this list.
Yeah,
I can't go for that. No, no, no,
just backed up. Let me explain one more time how it works. It's 1980. What is it? 1980. 1981. You take a dump truck of cocaine and you back it up to a program director's office and you bury him and his secretary in blow. All right? And then you dump a bunch of hookers on top of that. So he then agrees to play this song. Now, if you're dumb and your brain is porous like Big Tad's, this then will infiltrate your brain. And when you're stupid, you just have familiar. You don't remember good. You don't remember bad. You just remember what you remember. So we dump a bunch of blow off at the program director's office. He agrees to play this horrible song. It infiltrates your weak, porous brain. And then when someone calls you 20 years later and says, what's your favorite song from 1981? You go, Hall & Oates. And now, then somebody puts a list together, and then we get punished because we have to listen to your crappy music when they get the results of this stuff and they put it on Jack FM. I got to drive home and now listen to this.
All you right, know what stands out to me, Ace, if I may say, is the bad, there's some decent bands on this list, but then people choose the wrong songs. Yes. That gets under my skin. Now, AC/DC, for instance, they have the number 10 song overall, You Shook Me All Night Long. Now, there isn't an, because AC/DC goes away when Bon Scott dies in my book. I have no use for Brian Johnson, so they shouldn't show up on the list. But then there's like, you know, you have the Beastie Boys, you know.
Fight for Your Right is not their best song.
Right, no. That's the other thing. Not only do they play bad songs by one-hit wonders, they play the worst songs of groups that have decent songs.
Paul's Boutique is the greatest one of the top five or six rap records of all time by the Beastie Boys. I'm pretty sure that came out 89. And all those songs would be superior.
Even Fight for Your Right, even License to Ill had better songs than Fight for Your Right.
All right, enough of this. I don't like geek rock.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen, what's his greatest song according to this list?
Well, they'll put Born in the USA, which is his worst song, of course. It's a horrible Bruce Springsteen song. He has many great songs. Born in the USA is, I would say the bottom of his most played songs. I don't know if he has a worse song than that. I can't imagine he does. But these idiots pick Born in the USA. And then, of course, there's the very imaginative Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, I Love Rock and Roll. Like, we all haven't had an impacted colon full of that horrible song. I just want to know what's wrong with people. Tyler?
Yeah?
What's your song?
It's My Girl Likes to Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy.
I'll go with that. I'll go just because it's not on the list and it's a novelty song and just as good as most of the crappy songs that are on this.
We might as well throw in the Bruce Willis song, Respect Yourself.
Ryan? Oh, is this it? Well, Brian.
That's scary.
Quick with that one. Doesn't sound dated at all.
No. I can't tell.
It's a huge drum shape. You know, when I see the octagonal shaped drum set, I know we're in trouble. And when I see the black guy sporting a headband, that means we're in trouble. You'll see a white guy sport a headband every once in a while, but when you see the black guy sporting the headband, that's the look.
Just to be clear, though, you're being cute when you say that this is a decent song.
Mm-hmm. No, here's what I'm saying. No, it's not a good song. It's a interesting choice. Yes. You're going to call in and give me this one. I'll buy it over. Here's another one. We won't play it because I'll vomit. But Paula Abdul, Straight Up. That's number 64 on the list. Somebody's smart up here, Ryan.
Yeah.
You want to nominate the Smiths? Yes?
I want to replace it with Falling.
Oh, you want to replace your Smiths candidate with Falling?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, this is from the 70s,
This is
I
from
think.
The 70s, but maybe we can grandfather it in.
Yes, on a technicality.
That's right.
Because he sang it, John Mark Carr sang it during the 80s.
It's a very good point.
So his version is actually an 80s song.
Very good point. All right, we need to take a break. I'd like to see, Brian, let me play a couple more snippets from my
list
here.
I want to hear your song.
Oh, that's what I love about you, T.
I like that X song.
Well, here's one.
This is Kiss Rodeo.
This one is a novelty song, but a cool song by They Might Be Giants. Now, this could be 89, it could be 90. I don't know if it's 91. I think it's 90. I think it's technically 89 or 90. Oh, Mike's got to look. 90? 91? No, it's not. Well, we should listen to it anyway.
Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm. I'm interested in things.
Got a good horn section going here.
Doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm. I like to play the drums.
Well, I might not have technically made it into the 80s with this. Mike says it's 90. Maybe it's 91. We should figure it out. I remember where I was when I heard it. What was it, Mike?
I'm not sure. I think it's past that though, because Flood came out in 1990. I think it came out after that.
This is not off of Flood?
No.
All right, but let's listen to horns anyway. Does anyone want to listen to anything that's interesting,
like that,
or you just want to hear I Love Rock and Roll, so put another dime in the jukebox,
that's a fun
baby?
Song I never heard.
I do need to point out, Ace, that they might be Giants, great band, but you announced last week that you hate geek rock.
That's
I think
true.
This is the personification of a geek.
This is nerd rock. This is nerd rock. All right, let's listen anyway. The horns in my pop songs. All right, let's do one more. One more, and then we're going to break. Don't worry, Brusket. I'm on a roll here. Go, let's go 11.
Brusket's on a roll, too, but
we
it's buttered.
Tune 11. This is an Elvis Costello song, but this is done by Dave Edmonds, and it never gets played on the radio, but it is a great song. That's Elvis Costello's song. Yeah.
I love it. I would argue that two more Elvis Costello songs from the 80s should be in the top 100 and aren't. That's Every Day I Write the Book and Veronica.
Yeah. Hey, Elvis Costello. Is he represented on that list?
No, I do not see him on the list.
Oh, my God. Are people stupid? All right, turn it up a little. I'm gonna try to sink into the brain. the idea.
How would I know Dave Edmonds?
Eurythmics.
Dave Edmonds is...
No?
Is,
oh, Dave... Oh, I'm sorry.
That's Dave Stewart? Yeah. But his name is Dave, but your name's Dave, too, and you've only been in a few
you
bands.
You should know the other
I'm Dave. A songsmith, too, so
the,
yeah, I know.
The, he is an English guy, I believe, who was just influenced by the sort of rockabilly stuff from the 50s, and he has Crawling from the Wreckage is one of his hits. He had a couple of hits in the early 80s, but I guess that was an Elvis Costello song that he covered.
I love that.
We will take ourselves a little break later. We'll keep going with this. I think there's another Elvis Costello song that may have been covered from Dave Edmonds. I got to figure this out, but we'll continue with our list of the 80s best songs according to VH1, and then we'll hear it according to me, and we'll also hear it according to you after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Jack Mansell, a little hungover from our Playboy Mansion party. We'll be taking pictures of our 21-year-old hottie who wants to pose in Playboy. Hey, Jack's gonna need a little time along with the proofs, peeps. Also, actor Stephen Baldwin, prisoner David. And we'll recap our huge blotto in the grotto Playboy Mansion party. Jack Van went as a bucket of pickles, and all the ladies wanted a bite. Teron, the intern, tells me I went home with a dude. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
I think we played that one from yesterday, because today is not that day. We're talking 80s music. VH1 came up with 100 greatest songs of the 80s as voted by, well, by you, but I hope it's none of you, because this is a horrible list. Hall & Oates, I can't go for that.
No can do.
Top 10. Top 10 by you retards. What else do we got in there, T?
Well, there are several Prince songs, including the number 5, When Doves Cry, from 84. And then a Prince song from 86, Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Made, oh, this is going to make you bad. Mm-hmm. Debbie Gibson with Only in My Dreams makes the list.
Don't mind it.
Oh,
Cousin Sal, Jimmy's Cousin Sal, loves Debbie Gibson, and I'll give him a pass on that.
Another Prince song that made it, which I actually love the song, Little Red Corvette.
Yeah, don't mind that one. It's a nice ditty. Doesn't make him a genius. Everybody's not a genius. No one could have so many crappy songs and be a genius.
And there's a lot of...
Unless...
Yes.
He has another field of expertise that I'm not aware of. Maybe he's a genius in aerospace or something like that.
I like it. It's a good song. And then, of course, the number one song of the 80s, according to this VH1 poll, is Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. Mm. But there are a lot of songs that you remember from the 80s that are sort of one-hit wonders, like Come On Eileen,
mm-hmm.
Push It from Salt and Pepper,
right.
Iran by A Flock of Seagulls, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Is Safety Dance on there?
I believe not.
By Men Without Hats.
Oh, it's got to be somewhere on there.
It is not on here.
Here's why I like Cars. Because when you look at the top 10 list of automobiles from Car and Driver, Road and Track, Popular Mechanics, whatever it is at the end of the year, you know where you stand. Number one, Lamborghini Murcielago. You know, 12 cylinders, $250,000, from Italy, handcrafted, beautiful leather hides. Ugh. Stop this, please. That's the number one.
Red Corvette.
Or they'll have the V16 that Tom Cruise drove in, or the supercar Mercedes. There's no such thing when you do the top 10 cars or the top 10 homes or the top 10 athletes. There's no such thing as having a 3-cylinder Chevy Sprint be at number 2 and have the Lamborghini Murcielago underneath it. It's impossible. It doesn't exist. But in music, it exists. You get to Paula Abdul on a list that doesn't have an Elvis Costello song.
When you said Cars, I thought you were actually talking about the Gary Newman song.
Me too.
I really thought you were saying
sorry.
That's not an atrocious song for one-hit wonders.
But
look,
this is.
Here's the thing about music. There's plenty of room for guilty pleasures, and there's plenty of room for quirky songs that are that scream this is the year it was made in, or the decade.
I would say Tainted Love is one of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad song. It reminds you of that time, the Soft Cell song.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. Now, I want to talk to you, actually, but then I'll keep my little tutelage going. Troy?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I got Send Me an Angel by Real Life.
Send me an angel from the
movie Rad.
Right now. Yeah, it's got a little of that moany Brit rock thing going, but it's not bad.
It's got Uncle Jesse's Ooh. Wife.
Wow.
Brian.
Brian is on his game today.
You can't beat her.
In heaven above. It's a little moany. It's a little homo rock.
But all right.
It's got a real 80s sound. I'll go with you on that. I don't know if it's on my top 50, but maybe it cracks. Fire. These guys are probably from Michigan. There was that whole sort of 80s whiny rock, that weird morose English whiny rock. Yeah, I never got into that gothy stuff. All right, who's next? Let's see, Johnny?
Yeah, happy Halloween, Teresa.
Thank you. Back to you.
Hey, Adam, you're welcome. Adam, I wanted to tell you, the problem with these decade polls, that they don't give you instructions. They don't tell you what's the best artist and the best song, or which songs define the genre of the 80s. That's the real problem with these polls.
Mm-hmm. But I still feel like we'd end up with a lot of Paula Abdul and Joan Jett and Hall & Oates, even if they did give you those instructions.
All right, so you got to pick two. I picked two songs that aren't great songs, but they're good songs.
Well, why not pick great songs?
Well, because they fit the genre of the 80s. So
I pick
Our House, In the Middle of the Street, and Safety Dance. Mm-hmm. That I think Dave or someone mentioned.
Yeah. Is that Madness?
Yeah,
I like Madness.
I like this song.
Plenty of room for that.
Yeah, I'm surprised this is not on the list.
Well, it's
80s.
Kind of a good song, so maybe that's the reason why. How stupid are people?
Well, I'm sure AHA knocked this off the top 100.
All right, let's see. What else have? Lita Ford, Kiss Me Once, Kiss Me Twice, Kiss Me Deadly.
No, Daniel?
Yeah.
You like Lita Ford, Kiss Me Deadly?
Oh, of course, man. That video was just awesome.
But
if you listen to the song, Kiss Me Once, Kiss Me Twice, Kiss Me Deadly.
Yeah, but the Runaways were cool. Wasn't she in the Runaways? The band with Joan Jett?
Yes.
Was she really?
Yeah, I wish Joan Jett would run away. Stop hearing that stupid honestly, I love rock and roll song.
That's a good song from the 80s. I mean, compared from all the other songs you guys have been playing so far, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's a lot better than Dave Edmonds or Elvis Costello.
Well, how about...
All right. You've spoken, sir. I say to you, good day.
I want to hear what Dave Damashek was listening to in the 80s.
Well, I went nostalgic with my choices. Ace, you're right that there are a lot of great Elvis Costello records. You know, the 80, 81, 82. He had three great records in a row and so on and so forth. But I went with the songs that I listened to that made me start to get into music around the mid-80s.
The Steelers.
You Pittsburgh Steelers. But that wasn't even it, because that was in the glory days of the 70s, Ace.
Right.
No, I went with... let me say arguably the biggest, the best band of the 80s besides Elvis Costello, REM. This is from their record Reckoning, second record.
Yes, smart.
You like this, Ace?
Oh yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't think you liked REM.
This is a great song. It's not played enough. We hear the bad REM songs, or at least the effed out REM songs, but this is a great song. Yes.
Well, the one REM song on their list is It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Yeah, that's what they do to us.
A grave shame. Yes,
yeah.
Document and Green close out the 80s for Murmur and Reckoning and Life's Rich Pageant. These are all great records.
Well, sorry,
they all
Dave.
Sound the same to me. What's the difference? One REM song sounds exactly
like
the next.
Is that right?
I'm sorry.
Oh, stop.
I can't tell the difference.
No, this...
I'm sorry.
This is a great REM song. And, Dave, I'm so pleased you put on your list.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you like it. I really would have expected you to say, I hate that college rock or whatever.
No, REM is a good band, a little pretentious, and they have a couple of hits that get played a little too much, and it's, as so often the case, not their best songs that get shoved down our throats. But then they have songs like this and many other songs like this that are great songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, once they start getting the mandolin out,
yes.
Pretentious.
This is a very palatable song.
Good band, yeah.
And then I also went with Ace. I'm sure you grew up listening, or not grew up, but I'm sure they were big in the late 80s out here in L.A., Jane's Addiction.
Interesting
the Mountain
band.
Song.
Yeah.
And in fact, Ace, You took me about 3-4 years ago to a show out here to see Jane's Addiction. I thought, it'll be fun just to see them nostalgically, just for the sake of saying, oh, I listened to this band, you know, 15 years ago. But they came out, and Dave Navarro was awesome.
Yeah.
They were fantastic live still.
Yeah, it was fun. Someone's got Ant music up here from Adam, eh? Judas Priest Turbo Lover. I'm sure Rob, what's his name, when he sat down to pen Turbo Lover, was 41. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
I spared you the Public Enemy and the Beastie Boys and all that stuff, because I know you're not too down with that. But Teresa, you have yet to regale us with some of your choices.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to take some heat for this, but I've got to be honest. In my day, a certain movie came out, and in that movie, Lloyd Dobler put up the radio to try to win over Diane Court, and I loved the song at the time.
Say Anything?
Yeah.
No, you're a girl. That's
good song. Peter Gabriel's good.
I know it's girly.
Well, I'm down with that.
It's a good song. Oh, my God. Brian's crying.
Brian, don't cry about it.
But this was a good movie. I was young.
Brian did this with his beatbox when Carson Palmer hurt his knee. He went outside the hospital.
Beatbox is what they called his frat room when he was in the house. You can stay at the six-pack with six dudes, or you can stay alone with Brian in the beatbox. Most people chose the six-pack. All right, good song.
Okay.
Good song.
And then I think you're not going to like this one either.
Don't worry about me, baby.
I loved I think it was one of the first record albums I bought was London Calling, but then I also loved
Clash.
This song.
No.
I know you don't like this one, but
well,
this is the beginning. It's good.
It kicks in at the end, I feel. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
Clash is one of those good bands, sort of like R.E.M. in that I don't need to hear this or Rock the Casbah. What I do need to hear is Clamp Down.
Yeah, I love that
song. A little
song.
More often.
Yeah.
Or ever
or
on
Lost
the radio.
Or Supermarket or anything from London Calling.
Right. The Devil is on the phone, by the way.
I love it when the Devil cuts it off, but
hey, sorry, your Satan ship. We're going through some 80s music. It was a good time for you, by the way. The coke was running free. There was no AIDS. People were fornicating in the streets.
Are you talking about the 1580s?
Oh, yeah, no, I never thought about that.
My favorite song was The Sandbiter's Dance, you know. People would do this as they got the plague and they died with pustules and boils all over their bodies. Good times, good times.
Hey, Devil, Satan, are you on your cell phone?
I am on my cell phone, and as a matter of fact, I'm right here waiting to get back to hell. But it's a big day for me because it's my birthday. It's my birthday. Go, Devil.
Halloween, I never thought about that. I guess if Christmas Absolutely. Is Christ's birthday, then Halloween would be the devil's birthday.
How are the Roman charges from hell?
Listen,
yeah.
Adam, I will spare your soul if you can guess what I'm going for as Halloween tonight.
All right, I think I have a guess, because I'm sure it needs to be funny, but yet morbid in bad taste. I'm going to go Steve Irwin with the big barb sticking from his chest.
Oh, that's very good. I'm not going to give you your soul back, but I'll go easy on you. Actually, I'm going as Kathy Griffin with no makeup.
Kathy Griffin with no makeup. Hold on, your Satan ship. Braskin, I feel like the connection to hell is so garbled that we need to put the devil on hold, but Kathy Griffin with no makeup, I don't think that's funny, by the way.
Putting the devil on hold.
Well, the connection is bad. Putting the devil on hold sounds like something
a
you
bad
do.
Song?
Well, yeah. Or it sounds like a guy who got shot 9 times and lived. He put the devil on hold that he did. Later on, fell off a ladder cleaning his rain gutters out and died. Can you believe it? 9 bullets in the chest, fine, and then 6 years later, he's up on a ladder. Devil inside. Try the devil
inside.
Satan, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I feel like our connection is too bad, your Satan ship.
Oh, listen, it's probably because Teresa's trying to pull the plug. I've just been nominated to head the committee to bring back Rachel Perry.
Oh, really?
The devil likes Rachel Perry better?
Absolutely, because she does the Friday bitch fest.
Oh, the bitch bag. All right, the connection is too bad. I'm sorry, your Lord Satan, ship of evil, but we're just going to have to put you on hold. We got to get the devil a landline. Jeez, I love this topic. I would like, here's another song I hate. Let's see, we got Rebel Yell up here, Jump,
oh,
Bloody Sunday. Yeah, I'm going to play another one of my songs before we take a break. Now, as I said before, what's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding? Great Elvis Costello song. I thought it was written by Dave Edmonds, but it was written by a guy I knew it wasn't written by Elvis Costello, which is weird because it's a great Elvis Costello-sounding kind of song. It was written by Nick Lowe. Let me see where it is. Let's see.
I always thought he wrote that song, too.
Yeah, I always thought he did, too, and now I'm trying to find it on my list. Where the hell is, why is it not on my list? Let's see. Ah, here it is, number 10, track number 10. Track number 10. A very, like, honest, just straightforward, got a good message to it. Know this song. Now I'm going track 9, Bri. Here's one that's not on the list, but should squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
Now you hear the Black Coffee in Bed song all the time,
tempted.
Or Tempted, but you don't hear this one. Pulling Muscles from Michelle. Dig on this.
They have a record of all their greatest hits. I recommend it to everyone.
Highly.
Fantastic.
Very 80s, but yet sort of timeless in a way.
A lot of range in their music.
Yes.
Will we be putting your list online so people can...
No, it's my list.
We should. It's very good.
They know how the Prince stuff sounds super dated.
Yeah.
Just listen to this.
You know, I like it. It evokes the time, but it still sounds current.
It's just good. It's just better than what's on this list. You know, people want to talk different. People want to talk styles or tones. But there is something called better. We can agree on it when we look at paintings. We can agree on it when we drink wine. We can agree on it when we go out to a restaurant. This is better music than Paula Abdul's Straight Up. Thus, you must listen to it a little bit more. Get the idea. Better. Not different. Different. Better. It sickens me that we just pump crap up everyone's arse and then we're forced to listen to it. LA, second biggest radio market in the country, and there's nothing to listen to when you drive around. Nothing.
You mean this is better than Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
Marginally. Yeah, but it's not as good as the Guilty Feet that have no rhythm. All right, we need to take a break. T, we got the news coming up.
That's
what's
right.
In it?
Well, what can't sex offenders do on Halloween? I'll let you know. And also a very surprising, very big celebrity breakup.
Oh, I heard about this, but I won't spoil it. The devil's back on.
Oh, good.
There we go. He's on a landline now. Sorry, Satan.
I call it the devil line.
I understand.
Listen, Adam, I want to apologize. I'm busy putting razor blades and apples for the kids tonight.
No, I understand. It's a very busy day. It's the devil's birthday. It's Halloween.
Absolutely. Go, devil. It's my birthday. Go, devil.
So you're going as Kathy Griffin with no makeup.
Ooh, that's spooky.
That's not nice, devil.
Yeah, that's not nice.
It's supposed to be nice. It's evil.
What's your favorite candy, Devils? I like those
you
little...
Know what I like? Yeah. I like the bazooka bubble gum with just a tad of strychnine in it.
I see. It's just a dollop. Oh, you're scaring me.
You know what else I like to do? I like to take those little corns, the candy corn, and you pull off that yellow part, and you just stick some cut glass in there and stick it back on.
Wow, you're really evil.
I like to take popcorn, and I just take each little curl and rub it in my devil butt.
Seems like the joke's on you on that one. So
look out.
Big night, I understand. I
no, but seriously, Adam, let's be serious about our evilness. I'm really going to go as Byron Allen for Halloween. What's scarier than that?
Well, I've done his show a few times.
I think we all have.
Oh.
Oh, the devil's been on Byron Allen's show?
Oh, certainly. But it's just evil.
Yeah, well...
Now, getting back to Teresa Strasser and this Friday bitch bag, she must be drawn and quartered.
Because the devil loves the bitch bag, right?
Well, no, I really don't. What I like is when you get upset and have a nervous breakdown.
Now, everybody likes that.
It is.
It shows that you're weak, and that just turns me on.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to work that out. You're
There's no working it out. Who's the boss?
Tony Danza?
No.
I thought it was a trick question. Oh, I am.
Absolutely.
That's right. All right, that's it. She'll have to do the bitch bag, but we'll give you details on it.
Let's do it now.
All right, no, Satan, we're not ready for the bitch bag. We got to take a break, and then we're going to do the news and the sports, all right?
All right. Listen, I got to get back to doing some evil things. Everyone have a miserable Halloween.
Thank you. The devil, everybody. So, news coming up, and then in sports, we're going to need your phone calls because we're going to do a little NBA player or tech stop.
That's right. It's the opening night of NBA basketball, and so we need callers to win a caller to win a fantastic prize, and also my NBA preview.
Hold on. Someone's taking umbrage with my music. Andre? Andre? Oh, Andre, what's up, buddy? I put you on the phone because you said my music sucked.
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Dude, how are you?
What's going on?
Well, I'm just saying the music that I know you, some of the stuff you rip on I agree with, but a lot of stuff that you like is kind of wimpy white soul.
Yeah. Okay, but it's good.
Yeah.
What do you like? What's your 80s music?
Well, when I was, you know, I grew up in the 80s and I was kind of trying to be new wave and stuff, but living in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So it was like Joy Division, New Order.
Yeah, that's edgy.
It's bad?
That's edgy hardcore.
Oh, well, you know.
Gangsta.
I tried.
Type stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right.
But, wow, I didn't think I'd get through.
All right. Well, evidently you're not right. Hey, listen, Kyle, when you hold your finger up, that means line one.
He likes. He doesn't like that you like wimpy white bands, but he's into gay British bands.
Yeah.
Right. He's into Sinsonic drums and Casios. Right. Because Dave Edmunds is really like Enya compared to this. All right. Look, if you have a point, fine. Articulate it. That's all. You don't like my music? Go ahead and tell me why you don't like it. Don't say my music is white and wimpy and then come up with a whiter, wimpier group than my groups. Idiots. See what I'm talking about? We'll take a break. We'll be back with news, sports, NBA player, tech stock after this.
Time. Number 77 from Soylent Green.
Soiling green is people.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
And back to Teresa Strasser with the news.
Well, if you're a sex offender on probation or parole and you live in the state of Tennessee, there are a few things you cannot do on Halloween. No costume parties, no decorations, no jack-o'-lanterns, no haunted houses, no handing out of candy. These things are all forbidden under a newly issued Halloween guideline for Tennessee sex offenders.
What if someone knocks on your door?
You cannot put your porch light on, and you cannot answer the door.
Really?
If you are a registered sex offender who's on probation.
How about you take some razzles and you sculpt them around your ding-a-ling and you push it through the mail slot like I do every year?
I'm pretty sure that's also prohibited.
Does it say it specifically? Does it say razzles, mail shoot, and ding-a-ling? Well, if it's not in the rule book, I'm sorry, Missy. I'm doing it.
Well, it's intended, obviously, to keep sexual offenders away from minors who are out in full force on Halloween. And some other states have restrictions. For example, New York, from 3 p.m. to 6 a.m., you have a curfew if you're a sex offender. You cannot go out.
Can I just jump in?
Yes,
If you're sitting at your house and some kid knocks on the door dressed as Charlie Brown and you can't get up and answer it and give him candy, you need to kill yourself. If you're sitting in your home and you can't get up and answer your front door because you're on a list that the state has provided your neighbors, you should just drink some Drano and end it because life is over.
That seems fair.
I would like to get on the list where I don't have to answer the door or the phone. What's that list?
Well, as you know, there are 87 registered sex offenders within 1 mile of my home, so I expect it will be much like a ghost town tonight around trick-or-treat.
Yeah, Beirut will have more action
exactly.
than Teresa's neighborhood.
Well, in entertainment news, a big, big celebrity breakup. Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
Good. Yeah. You know why? Because every time one of these couples bites the dust, it makes the Ace Man look a little bit better on the home front. I may be indifferent. I may not be a great husband. I'm not going anywhere. Mainly because I'm tired, but I'm not going anywhere. Here I am.
Well, they were married in 1999 after they met on the movie Cruel Intentions. Reese Witherspoon, of course, won an Oscar for Walk the Line. And Ryan Phillippe is in the Clint Eastwood movie Flags of Our Fathers.
Is it Felipe? I think it's Felipe. I think Felipe? They do the E. I think
Phillippe.
It's like Phillippe.
It is.
I think
it's
they
Phillippe.
Do the E.
Phillippe.
Right.
Sorry, I can never pronounce it.
Yeah, he's in Flags of Our Fathers.
Ryan Phillippe. Well, the two of them have two children, 7-year-old Ava. How do you know that name?
Ava? Oh, it's my son's middle name?
Close.
Eva?
Ava. Ava, I'm pretty sure it's your daughter's middle name.
Damn. I gotta get that quarterback wrist laminate finished already.
You were close. They also have a 3-year-old Deacon.
Yeah, and, that's my boy's name.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's Santino.
Yeah.
That's close. Okay. Oprah, you know, she likes to give
so
away...
So sad for the kids.
It is. Oprah likes to give away a big prize. You remember when she gave out Pontiacs to everyone in the audience? They later had to pay taxes, and it got very ugly.
Well, you know she's giving away stuff when she goes into the deep, scary voice, where she goes like, I'm giving away Pontiacs! If you're in the audience at Oprah, you want to hear her drop down into that low, scary voice, because that means you're walking away with a washer and dryer.
Absolutely. Well, yesterday, she was selling it as her biggest audience giveaway ever, and I couldn't wait to see what she was giving away, and then it turns out she was giving away debit cards for $1,000 to everyone in the audience, about 300 people, but there was a catch, and here's what it was.
Here's the challenge. For that money, this is what you're going to do. You're going to open your hearts, you're going to be really creative, and you're going to spend it all at once on one stranger or spend a dollar on every person. It doesn't matter to me. There is so much you can do with this challenge. You have to spend the money on somebody other than your family.
Mm-hmm. That's How does nice. She back that up? I well, mean, how she, does she substantiate that?
She gave everyone a camcorder, or I should say lent everyone a camcorder so that they could record how they were spending their money, and I'm sure we'll be seeing lots of clips of this on future episodes of Oprah.
You know what I'd do with that thing?
What?
I'd first videotape me giving it to buy $1,000 worth of Coke, and then the next shot she'd see the Ace Man's reflection in the mirror while he feverishly went at himself.
Well, I like that.
With
it's
powder all over my face.
It's wrong, but kind of artsy.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the animated movie Flushed Away, only because there seems to be a slug character, and some people think that...
Well, you do the math. You do the math, which is, it's all about something that got flushed down a toilet.
Right.
And when the lead character has no arms, no legs, is smooth and streamlined and shaped like a cigar or a Snickers bar, and sort of brownish in color... Again, you do the math.
Well, the storyline of Flushed Away turns out to be about a rat named Rita. She gets flushed down the toilet, and Kate Winslet plays Rita. And it turns out that voice acting is a lot harder than you might think.
Oh, absolutely.
It's actually way more challenging than you'd think. You know, you can sort of say how nice it is to turn up and not have hair and makeup and all of that stuff. But when you have to create a character just with your voice, you know, you almost have to do so much more.
You know, it's always interesting. Models, actors, actresses, the people that have the easiest jobs in the world are always talking about how difficult their job is. But you never hear people that have difficult jobs talking about how difficult it is. You don't have guys who fly jet airplanes for the Navy, or you don't have astronauts. You never have any astronauts go, oh, man, it is hard work up there in space. I got to tell you, that shuttle's filled with knobs and buttons and gauges, and you got to learn to read them all. Imagine how much talking an actor would do if they actually had to do a real job.
Well, it's true. I remember when Mariah Carey was hospitalized for exhaustion, and I was thinking, well, she sings and dances, but shouldn't coal miners be more exhausted?
Yes, you never hear people that have hard jobs complaining about how hard they are. You only have people that have easy jobs complaining. Yeah, I've done a lot of voiceover work. It's tough. You sit there and you go, oh, please help. And then the guy comes over the thing and goes, let's try it again. And then you go, oh, please help. Then they go, give me three in a row, make them all different. So you go, oh, please help. Oh, please help. Oh, please help. And then they go, all right, we got it. And then they move on to the next one.
Yes, I think it is
tough.
You're on Drawn Together, yes, on Comedy Central.
Yes.
And also, I think you add voice to some of the characters on Crank Yankers.
Well, Crank Yankers has come back. The beautiful thing about doing voiceover work is if you screw up, you get to do it again. And again, if you fly commercial aircraft or something like that, you don't oftentimes get the second chance when you forget to put the landing gear down.
Well, if you do see Flushed Away, you should appreciate the hard work that Kate Winslet put into it.
I just want to see Mr. Dookie. That's all.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time. Hold on a second. We have a guest voiceover expert in the studio. Young Kyle, 8 years old. Third grade, Oxnard, California. Kyle, that's you, buddy.
Hi.
How you doing? I know you're a little starstruck here because you listen to the show every morning on the way to school.
Yeah.
And you're a fan of Dave Damashek?
Yeah.
I told you he was out there, Dave. We just had to find him, and here he is.
Well, last week we got a call from a crackhead. This is a refreshing turn.
Yes. And what are your favorite sports?
My favorite sport is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And right. Are you going out tonight trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
You going to dress as Dave Damashek?
I wish.
Even better. Oh. He's got even a better costume in store. What are you going as, Kyle?
I'm going to be a stormtrooper from Star Wars.
Oh. Yeah.
I want to adopt him.
I insist upon it, sir. His father's outside, but I'm sorry. He has to come home with me. This is wonderful.
And, Kyle, what would you like to be when you grow up?
I want to be a cop.
Nice. Why?
Because my dad was one.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Your dad was a cop. He just liked to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Substitute school teacher to an 8-year-old ace man didn't sound so alluring, so I didn't follow in my dad's footsteps. But you'd like to be a cop like your dad.
Yeah.
All right. And what happened? Your dad seems fairly young. He's not a cop anymore?
No. He retired because he got stabbed in the side.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, perhaps you can get stabbed in the side one day. Wow. Come on in here. What's Dad? Dad's name is Jim. You got stabbed in the side, so you had to quit the copping?
Yeah, it was that and a couple other things, but that primarily.
Mm-hmm. And you've moved on to doing what?
I work for Sears now. I'm a corporate investigator.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I smell a situation where some thugs break in, try to take over the durable goods section, and you fall back on your cop training. It's some, you know, here's the thing about cop. Once a cop, always a cop.
Yes, I saw Die Hard.
They never say that about garbage men or anything else. Hey, once you're a garbage man, you're always a garbage man. Right. But once you're a cop, you are always a cop. You get trapped in the building.
Well, we target organized crime groups that commit thefts against the corporation now. So
you're still doing your policing. You're just not out on the streets driving the patrol car.
Not at all.
All right, and young son is a big Dave Damashek fan. Yes,
absolutely.
Now, what do you love so much about Dave?
I like sports. That's my favorite hobby, and I like listening to the show.
Mm-hmm. And you like the way Dave does the sports.
Yeah.
You hear that, Jack Silver? All right.
He loves sports and Star Wars. He's perfect. Adorable. He's a perfect little boy.
Let him go home with Dave.
Jim. Shut up.
Jim, will you be happy if your son Kyle follows in your footsteps and becomes a police officer?
Absolutely.
He will. Okay.
Whatever he wants to do.
All right, Kyle. So you're going to lead us into the sports with your call, yes?
Yes.
All right. Here we go, everybody.
It's time for Dave Demoshek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Yeah.
Very good.
Young Kyle. A move beyond words. And not just because of Kyle. It's the NBA's opening night. As a matter of fact, in the next sports that we do, I will have for you my NBA preview. It's too big to play this early. Mm-hmm. I've got to save it for a little while. What I do want to do, though, is to celebrate the start of the NBA season. We're going to play NBA player tech stock. This is a real nice prize. It's a pair of tickets to an evening with Sean Wayans this Friday night at the Venetian Hotel. One night stay in a luxury suite and dinner. And you get to meet Sean Wayans and get autographed memorabilia. It's a really nice prize. Ace, I believe we have a caller waiting on the line to play this game.
Sean will be in here a little bit later this morning. John?
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, what up, Johnny? Bud? What's up, brother?
Been a long-time follower of Adam Carolla. I think you're probably one of the funniest guys out there.
Thank you, John.
Yes. For my $1,000 in the video camera, I would go buy 1,000 Steel Reserve 40s and videotape him giving the bums on the side of the freeway.
Ah, that's the callback to the Oprah.
Yeah, that's paying it forward.
You ready to play NBA player or tech stock?
Let's do this.
All right.
I'm Marv Albert, and this is NBA player or tech stock.
All right. Game is very simple. I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if it's the name of an NBA player or of a NASDAQ tech stock. All right. Number one. You must get 3 out of 5 to be a winner, to win this grand prize. Your first name, Zarco. Zarco.
We'll go with tech stock.
Rejected.
Now must get 3 out of the next 4. Number 2, here we go. Opexa. Opexa.
We'll go with tech stock again.
Yes!
You are correct, sir.
By the way,
Zarco is Zarco Kabarkapa of the Golden State Warriors.
Sure.
It's a wonderful
name.
That's
my team.
All right, here we go. Number 3, a canvas. A canvas.
NBA player.
Mark.
No good.
Well, he's got to sweep these next two here.
Got to go down for two.
Number 4. Udonis. Udonis.
NBA.
Marv?
Yes.
Correct.
From downtown.
All right, we're down to the last one. If you get this, you go to Vegas to see Sean Wayans.
Correct.
If not, you don't.
Udonis Haslam, of course, from the Miami Heat, the world champions. All right, it comes down to this. Number 5, Hedo. Hedo.
Tech stock.
Marv.
Rejected.
I'm so concerned. Hedo Turkoglu.
Sad. All right, let's take one more call and just give them one, and if they get it right, we'll give it to them, yes?
Oh. All right.
All right.
Nice idea.
Mike?
Yep.
We'd like to send someone to Vegas to go see Sean Wayans, so we'll do one. If you get it, you're in.
Do it.
Taro. Taro.
NBA player?
Thank you. Dropped an F-bomb.
Want to try another one?
Yeah, hold on. Kyle. Go wash your ears out with soap. See, when you swear, you got to wash your mouth out with soap. But when you hear someone swear, you got to wash your ears out with soap. I'm doing the math. Josh?
Yeah, hey, guys.
NBA player, tech stock.
Here we go.
All right. Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal.
Let me look at the NASDAQ. NBA player.
What?
Marv?
Marv?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct, sir. Wonderful prize. evening with Sean Wayans at the Venetian Hotel, luxury suite, dinner. You get to hang out with Sean Wayans. Mazel tov.
Was that Dan we were just talking to, or Josh? Was that line four we just had there? Josh?
Yeah.
Did you just win?
With Shaquille O'Neal, yeah.
All right, that's you. Although that's what I would say if I just lost and was the other guy. All right, Josh, we'll see you in Vegas, buddy.
Terrific, Adam. Thanks a lot.
All right, NBA player, tech stock.
Kyle, I'm done with sports. You have anything you want to say on the way out?
I would say I really enjoyed coming to the studio. I've never been to one of the studios. And I'm a big fan of Dave Demeshek and...
The other people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any other of your nephews you want to bring by the studio, Dave? Or are we cool?
Dave Demeshek's number one sports.
And Kyle, let me give you a little tip. If you want to be a cop, you got to learn to draw it out just a little bit more. Like when you pull someone over, you got to use a lot of extra words to keep them off balance. You can't say license and registration. You have to say... Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do right now is go ahead and reach in your pants, pull out your wallet, okay, for me right now, and produce your license, registration, okay, right now? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep words going, because if you don't keep talking, they'll go, what the hell? I'm a taxpayer. I was doing 39. What's the big deal? We have no dirty bombs coming in through the ports of L.A. You don't have enough, so you have to keep talking. Okay, well, sir, what I ask you to do for me right now is to go ahead and sit in the car and do nothing okay right now while I go ahead and run this license, all right, okay right now? I'm going to have to ask you to do for me right now, okay right now? You have to say okay right now, and you have to preface everything with what I'm going to ask you to do for me okay right now. Oh, and then you have to say go ahead. Okay, sure, what I'm going to need you to do right now, okay right now, is go ahead and do for me to go ahead right now. I'm going to go ahead right now and go ahead and check out this license and registration, run a VIN number, okay right now, I'm going to need you to do for me. Here's what I'm going to need to do and what you do. Let's see if you can work a little of that into a sentence.
I didn't understand a word.
That's right. That's exactly. That's it. It keeps the perp off balance.
Right now.
Yeah. You got to say, what I'm going to need you to do for me, just try that, Kyle. What I'm going to need you to do for me is show me your license and registration, okay, right now?
I don't have one.
No. Repeat after me, son. Repeat after me. Just say okay right now.
Okay right now.
All right, and now say what I'm going to need you to do for me.
What I'm going to need you to do for me.
Right, and you have to just keep talking so that they don't get their wits about them and ask them why they're getting the chicken-ass ticket, you see?
I'm telling you, you're messing up the story. Now get it right.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and do okay right now is we're going to go ahead and take commercial break. All right, so what I'm going to need you to do for me okay right now is just go ahead and sit tight. Do not reach for the radio okay right now. I'm going to go ahead and take a commercial break. I might take a number one okay right now. Oh, sorry, Kyle.
Okay right now.
Yes, that. Now you're getting it.
Good job, Kyle.
All right, Kyle. We'll see you in the third grade.
Okay.
But don't come back in 3 years and still be in the third grade.
Okay.
Right now?
Okay, right now.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. We'll be right back with your Halloween stories, okay, right now. You know, a lot of people get loaded around Halloween. A lot of people get into trouble. And then, as I think about it, a lot of people are not dressed appropriately. You're dressed as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, but you're in the drunk tank overnight because you got busted for a DUI. I had a friend who dressed as, the Good Witch of the West, it was a guy, my friend Donick, dressed as a chick. I gotta figure this one out. Jumped off a wall and broke his back and had to go to the emergency hospital. The point is they're cutting the hosiery off you and you got a chiffon dress and you're bleeding from the small of your back. A lot of mayhem, a lot of trouble, lots of guys probably off by the side of the road dressed as Richard Simmons, getting a field sobriety test. Lots of trouble. I want to hear about it. I'll tell you some of my own Halloween stories as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your stories and our Halloween stories after
okay,
this.
Okay, right now.
Beautiful.
Back to the Adam Carolla. Carolla Show. Do you have a crazy Halloween story? Did you ever get thrown in jail in costume? Or maybe the next day you did the walk of shame dressed like Tinkerbell? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, there's an 80s song. Hell is for children. Make fun of the song all you like, but when the Ace Man busted out in karaoke night, there's not a dry eye in the house.
Ace, I'm happy to report that Kyle's father and I, Kyle who just did the sports intro, and I are we're hammering out the details. I am going to take Kyle home with me, and then when my bride Cindy gives birth in 6 months, he's going to get that baby. So.
Oh,
in exchange.
Yes.
Because you don't know if your own child will be a fan of yours, whereas Kyle for sure likes you.
He likes me, he likes sports, and he likes Star Wars. Is there anyone in the history of the world other than me and my mother that can say as much?
You know, in the automotive field, we would call that a core exchange. You want to get your engine, you want to get a new rebuilt engine, you got to give them your old engine so they can rebuild it. So you will give them your core, which will be the young Damashek, and you'll get a fully rebuilt young child.
Yeah, and Kyle's dad can start fresh with whatever my kid turns out
to be. I'm sure Kyle's dad's a cop, and he made a couple of mistakes with him, things he wishes he could take back. Well, he'll get a chance to do it with young Damashek. Meanwhile, the kid's house broken.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to go through the diapers. Now those decisions about circumcision or baptisms and stuff, it's all been made for you already.
Yeah, and Kyle's dad was such a good sport about making the deal, I agreed to throw Cindy into the package as well.
Wow.
Yep. Wait, what if baby Damashek is a girl?
That's Kyle's dad's problem.
It's a kid, yeah. We'll have to deal with it. Yeah, there's some sort of Latin thing that's basically buyer beware.
Yes.
Know how it goes. Yeah.
I'm Carpe diem?
Seize the day.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. The point is if Madonna can do it, why can't our own Dave Damashek do it? So we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about your Halloween stories. People get loaded. I learned from our little party at the Playboy Mansion, but actually I knew it long before that. People get loaded at a regular party on a Saturday night, but when you're dressed as Conan the Barbarian, you start to become the guy, and before you know it, you're drinking the booze out of your helmet and yelling drink from your helmet, and you're grabbing guys and getting them in headlocks. This is what happens when you get loaded. Then you get into trouble, and now you're out in your outfit getting in trouble. A lot of sex going on, and probably a lot of one-night stands. And it's one thing to crawl back into your jeans and sweatshirt and slink out of the strange apartment the next morning, but it's another thing to crawl back into your Charlie Brown outfit and make your way back to your Toyota.
Yes.
There's got to be a lot of that, you know. I'm actually going to look forward to it because when I drive in at 5 and change in the morning, 98% of the traffic I see are guys drinking out of commuter mugs who look like they just got out of the shower that are hustling to work. But then there's between 2 and 6% of the dudes that are coming home. They ain't going out. They're coming home. I saw a guy in an 80s convertible. I think he had a 300 ZX from like 1990, beat to hell, convertible top down, freezing in the middle of the night. Thing probably didn't work. It was 5:15 in the morning. He's wearing a suede vest and nothing else, and he's driving. And I know that guy ain't heading to the Hewlett Packard. He's heading home to sleep off whatever he just did. So I want to hear your stories. I used to go down, and we used to go down to UCSB. The Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, because they would close off the streets and throw a party.
I've heard it's wild there. I've never been to Santa Barbara.
This was 20 years ago, and it was even wilder. They would close the streets off in Isla Vista, and people would just go insane. I went out there with my buddy. I won't mention his name because drugs are involved, but he was going off on mushrooms or X or something, and I couldn't hang with him because I was on the prowl. I was looking for action in my sailor outfit with my 12-pack of Strohs. And so I broke off and I flew solo. And I met my girlfriend, who was a sorority girl from USC. Don't know what the hell she was doing out there either. But dressed in like I said, fellas, go as a uniform. If you're single, just like the women go as the French maids or the Playboy bunnies, you know, they got the goods. Guys, women love a guy in a uniform. They don't love a guy who gets the salary of the guy in the uniform. They love a guy who dresses up like a sailor once a year, not the guy who's actually a sailor who makes $600 a month. So There's a sort of misnomer. They like a guy, yes, they like a rich guy in a uniform, not the guy who normally wears the uniform in the uniform. But once a year, dress up as a cop, dress up as a sailor, dress up as a fireman. You'll score for sure. Karen?
Hi, Adam.
What's going on there, Karen?
Nothing. How are you?
Tell me your story, baby doll.
This was many years ago, back when I was in college, and we were throwing a big old Halloween party at our apartment, and we decided to get a little crazy, and a handful of us took some mushrooms for the evening. Mm. And that was fine and good, but as you may know, sometimes things get a little confusing when you're on mushrooms.
Very tough to regulate.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Booze is very easily measured. Cocaine, other drugs are very easily measured. The thing with mushrooms is you and five of your buddies can take mushrooms. One guy could be on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride just freaking out, and then the other guy, 2 hours into it, is going, nah, I don't feel any different.
Yeah, you're right. So we're having
That's why you should always err on the side of taking more, by the way, for any youngsters listening.
Good advice, Adam.
Yeah.
So we're basically losing our minds when there's a ding-dong at the door, and we open it, and it's the police. But we don't know what's going on.
And also, you don't know if the cops are dressed as cops or they're actually cops on Halloween.
Exactly. We were so confused. We thought they were supposed to be at the party. So we're joking around and having a good time, and they're trying to explain that they are really the police. And we're going, okay, yeah, right, whatever, sure, you're the police. And they actually took it pretty easy on us. They said, you know what? We understand where you are right now. Just keep it down. Be safe. Have a good night. And they left. And it was the next morning when someone said, you know, those were really the cops.
Well, I don't know if they were cool. Maybe they weren't, because the man is never cool when you're trying to get your head straight on some shrooms, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've got my head right. Hey, here's the thing about mushrooms. Great drug. And after you take mushrooms, you make the proclamation, oh, yes, every weekend I will be taking mushrooms. And then 13 years goes by and you realize you haven't taken them again. It's one of these things where it's always a good time, but then you go, you never do it. It doesn't take. It's weird, you know? I used to talk to Dr. Drew about mushrooms, and they don't have any real long-term data on it, what it does to your brain, how it affects you chemically and your mood and all sorts of the long-term consequences of it.
Isn't it LSD, though? I mean, at this point, that's what they always say, that mushrooms are, in fact, just mushrooms that they've laced with LSD.
No.
They don't that there are very few places that actually are still making the magic mushrooms.
I do not think that is true.
Hmm.
BoarDop Bill, who's doing an amyl popper right now, says that's not true. Hey, is it big? Are mushrooms big in the gay community?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in a sexual way.
Right.
Just sort of.
You can't do anything.
No.
You make a lot of proclamations, but you don't follow them up.
There's two types of mushrooms.
A lot of sexual threats that are never followed through with right as you're getting high. Oh, baby, when this thing kicks in, so does the ace man. But no, turns out his ass just kicks into a beanbag chair, and that's it for the night. What, Bill?
It's too hard to get started. Yeah, there's two types of mushrooms, cubensis and a different one. But yeah, the mushrooms are real. They're not laced. They are actual spores, psilocybin, and cubensis. Those are the two types.
No, I know that they exist, but I understand that most people don't actually go to the trouble of growing this kind of mushroom and, in fact, just lace them with LSD.
I don't think that's
true.
Because
there's not much of a difference.
I don't think that's true, Dave. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I'm just saying I think if you want to go out and get mushrooms, you can go out and get mushrooms just like you can go out and get pot, and you should be able to get the right stuff. All right, where was I? Sue.
Oh, hey, good morning.
Hey.
I actually called in when you were giving tips to that little kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like maybe believe you're either coached, or you've been pulled over a lot, or you've been watching like 100 hours of Cops.
Sue?
You're pretty good. You're just dead on characters.
Thanks, buddy. Sue, have you been drinking this morning?
No, actually, I just woke up about, it was 8 o'clock, 3 hours ago.
Three hours ago.
Champagne.
Four beers.
At five.
Are you
at 5 in the morning. I fell asleep pretty early. I was really tired.
You fell asleep pretty early, so you woke up. You mean you passed out?
No, I didn't. I wish. No, I don't wish because I have some, but I didn't take a drink.
What are you doing tonight for Halloween?
Gonna call my sister and come over there.
She has my daughter. I've talked to like last year. The one who's disabled, with the the paralegal is disabled, and my sister has my 6-year-old, so she'll be having her back by Thanksgiving.
Hold on.
Things are looking better.
New candidate for definitely not at you.
Your sister's got her
kid.
She's not raising her. She's only had her for almost past year, and I've been doing well enough and out of the hospital.
What happened? You're disabled?
Yeah, I fell down like the last 4 steps, which was a direct result of something that landlord had done to the carpet. He'd cut it trying to, it was like, need to be replaced, and
so
he cut
ceiling?
It trying to stretch it. The court appointed attorney from the case says you have to. She says, I know you don't want to sue against him because he's been nice with me.
Ironically named Sue.
Not really, but I'm probably going to sound like a fool, so I picked a name.
I see.
I don't want to embarrass all my kids.
Her real name is litigation.
Yeah.
Name, I think it's litigious.
Litigious.
If I wanted to file Sue, I would have done
it. Dave, put that in the hopper. No one's going to mess it with a young daughter named Litigia, or if it's a boy, D apostrophe.
Hey, let's not invite Litigia to the party. Oh, we better.
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble. I can see the teacher, coming up here, young son named D. Litigious, and it'd be like, D. Litigious, get to the front of this class. I am going to tan your, you know what? Just sit down. It's all right, sweetie. You don't have to do your homework. I don't want any trouble. Be a good name to give your kid if you didn't want strangers to
Sue
beat it.
Sue for short.
Straight right. A's for D. Litigious Damashek once again.
All right. I don't have enough time to get to the bottom of Sue. Brian?
Yeah.
Tell me your Halloween story.
About 2 years ago, I was at a house party. It's 4 o'clock in the morning after everybody's completely loaded. And, I work in bars, and I'm always sort of dealing with altercations. I'm a big guy, about 350 pounds, and it's just a habit of mine to back up whoever's house it is, stand behind them if they're in a shouting match. So this particular Halloween, lady of the house got into a shouting match with a bunch of guys outside wanted to come in, and they were yelling and screaming, and I, stood up instinctually, got to say a couple words to the people outside. They wanted to come in. They were loaded. And I was loaded, too, but, I was trying to maintain supporting her. Anyways, they back off, and I realized at that point that I'm dressed up as a 6-foot Minnie Mouse.
Yeah, that's what's funny is when a guy's dressed as Charlie Brown or Minnie Mouse and they're going at it. It's kind of like when mascots get into a fight at a college game. It's a good time.
They had a look in their eye, and I didn't really understand. It looked like fear almost, but I kind of put it together that they were reacting because here I am standing at, giant 6-foot Minnie Mouse, basically telling them I was going to kick their ass.
But you never actually threw down with these guys.
The screen door never opened, but there were a lot of words. But it occurred to me afterwards how ridiculous I must have looked threatening to kick these guys out.
Well, that is the theme, the fights, the tragedies, the trips to the hospital, the emergency room, or the drunk tank when you're in the outfit. Here's a guy who's dressed as Bam Bam, hit a cop in the head with his club.
With a phone?
Lee?
Hey, what's happening, Adam?
Bam Bam carried a club.
Yes.
And he went, bam, bam. That's all he said.
That's all I did for that Halloween evening.
So what happened?
Well, I was at a bar, and as I got drunker, I got rowdier, and I started clubbing people in the head, screaming Bam Bam. And my friend noticed a big guy about 6'5 in the bar who looked like he was dressed as a cop and thought it'd be funny if I hit the guy dressed as a cop. And I was like, okay. So I come up from behind him, I hit him in the head and scream Bam Bam. He turns around, and I notice he's got a real badge and a real gun.
I feel like cops on Halloween should have to wear an orange vest or something so that we know that they're actual cops.
Agreed.
Because between the nighttime and, it's dark and you're always loaded and every third guy you see is dressed as a cop or fireman or police or what have you, you're not going to know the real cops unless you hear the okay right now. Then you know it's a real cop.
My line of defense.
You whacked him in the head, and what happened?
Well, he turned around, and I immediately panicked and ran for the door. Unfortunately, the bar was really packed, so he tackled me in the middle of the bar,
drags me outside, handcuffs me, throws me in the back of the cop car, and his partner comes out, and he's laughing at the cop. And so I don't think he was going to put me in jail originally, but his partner was giving him such a hard time, he looked more embarrassed than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, in my drunken stupor, I try to plead my case, and I'm in the back seat, and the window's half rolled down, and he's like, not another word. And I was like, but. He's like, not another word. And then he got so mad he started choking me through the window.
Nice.
And said, that's it, you're going to jail. So he takes me to jail, but the worst part of it is I actually lived right across the street from the jail, so I could see my house, and my roommates put up a banner that said Free Lee and partied well until dawn all night.
So you were in a cell. Did you share it with other guys?
No, I think there wasn't a lot of arrests that night. I was by
you
myself.
You just sat alone in your Bam Bam outfit.
I sat alone.
And when did you get out?
I got bailed out the next day, and the cop actually pressed charges assaulting an officer, which is a felony. I had to get a lawyer and go to court and the whole nine yards. But luckily, I did get off.
Parole officers online, too, by the way, Lee.
Adam, telephone.
Yeah, the idea, you know, spending a night in a joint is not something that anyone relishes, especially when you're in the drunk tank with a bunch of other guys. But again, dressed as something ridiculous makes it that much worse. Ozzy?
Hi, how are you?
What's happening, Oz, man?
You're good.
You're good. Are you dressing as something tonight, Ozzy?
Only making my t-shirt, you know, punky t-shirt.
You do a punky t-shirt?
Yeah, the color.
Oh, pumpkin color t-shirt. I came home yesterday. Of course, Ozzy was in my kitchen cooking up a storm. When I got home, he was, what did you make yesterday, Ozzy?
Cerdo adobado.
There you go.
Pork. With yuca and cassava.
Cassava, pork.
Yeah, pork, cassava, and salad.
Yeah, he was boiling stuff, he's cooking stuff. You know, I walk in the front door and I think, oh, the old lady's busted out a pot and a pan for a change. Now, there's Ozzy standing in the kitchen cooking away. Now, here's the thing about Ozzy. Nobody said, I'm hungry. Nobody said, why don't you make up something? Nobody talked about food at all. It's just randomly, about 3 days a week, when I show up after work, Ozzy's standing in my kitchen with an apron on, cooking something.
He's a good cook. I just ate one of his tamales. So good.
Yes, thank you, Ozzy. So, Ozzy, you're going to review a movie for us when we come back?
Yep. I'm watching Triple Exorcist.
Triple X what?
Exorcist.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Say it one more time, Ozzy.
Triple Exorcist.
Sorceress?
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
The Halloween theme porn.
Triple Exorcist. Yeah. Oh, you have a Halloween themed porn for us. All right.
Very scary movie.
Uh-huh. And Joanna
Joanna Angel's
in that. Yes, yeah. The porn star Joanna Angel, who's actually in here as well. So we'll come back. Ozzy, Joanna, will review her movie after this.
Adam Carolla Show. Just in time for Halloween, pornographer Joanna Angel has just released the new film, Triple Exorcist. So we brought in our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo, to tell us what he thinks about it.
Movies.
Welcome, Joanna Angel, to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Joanna Angel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I like you because you don't look like a porn star.
Oh, well, not all. What do I look like?
Sort of a grad student, I'd say.
That's interesting. Yeah, sort of like a girl
a very
next
hot
door.
Grad student. And by the way, Adam, I don't know if you noticed this, but she's wearing your favorite thing. Show him your leggings.
Oh,
you love the these.
Striped leggings, yeah.
Thigh highs.
It's a great look. Joanna,
I look like Marilyn Manson.
Has a BA from Rutgers University in English. So again, not your typical porn star. You can go to joannaangel.com if you want to see more. Ozzy's here. He doesn't look like your typical porn star either.
Oh, no. I think he does.
Nah?
What was that, Ozzy?
Ozzy, are you drunk?
He made an eating noise.
Ozzy, that's how he calls his wife. There you go. Ozzy?
Yeah.
You saw the movie The Exorcist? It's Triple Exorcist. Or how do you say that?
Yeah, it's The Triple Exorcist.
It's directed by Doug Sackman, mm-hmm. It says
here. Actually his real name. I think he was destined to be a porn director.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, if my last name is Sackman, I would argue very vehemently for Richard. Because then you do the math, and you got one hell of a name.
Also a good name for a defensive end, though, too.
That's true. Football. So that's his real name.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. I've asked porn people about this. A lot of porn people go by a assumed name. Also, the guys that work behind the scenes, you know, the grips and the lighting guys and the sound guys. So when you watch a porn and it scrolls through the thing, it's like sound mixer, Dick Nibbler.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why use a fake name? And why do you have to use a fake name? And then what do? I love Dick Nibbler's work. Nobody works a soundboard like Dick Nibbler. When I shoot my next legitimate film, I'm going to get Dick Nibbler to work on it. Why do they use fake names, too?
I don't know. I guess they just don't want somebody watching a porn and... I mean, a lot of people hide this job, even if they're just like a grip or a PA or a camera person or anything. Even if you're like a secretary that works in the office of a porn studio, a lot of people feel like they have to hide it from their families.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why.
I do.
But, so I guess that they just want to put a different name on there so their name doesn't show up anywhere. Nobody assumes that they had anything to do with it in their family or something.
I like to see the behind the scenes of the porn thing because I like the sound guy holding the boom mic and the camera guy. Mm-hmm. It's always the same dude. He's always wearing cut-off shorts and he has a... He has a pastel-colored tank top on. He has one of those.
Not on my set. I've got...
No? Turquoise tank top.
I've got probably one of the most attractive sound guys ever. Every single girl always winds up hitting on him. He's, like, gorgeous.
That'd be nice for you to look at.
He's a young, hip guy. His name's Todd.
Todd Nibbler.
And all the girls always wind up hitting on him, and it's really funny.
And do you ever think about working him into one of your movies?
We've tried. He's too shy. Mm. But one time in the behind the scenes, him to, like, dance on the table.
He's a real wallflower. He holds his boom mic three feet away from another guy's boom mic.
He's so good at his job because he's so quiet the whole time.
Well, you're Joanna, a studious book type.
Yeah, sure. I've heard this is true, but you'll tell me that there's a special light. I can't say what it's called, but it's called a sea light. And it's used to light the very private areas. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. You don't always need to use one, but I guess when you're filming somewhere kind of dark, because you know you guys want to see like everything.
There's a light just for the private area.
Reason,
I see.
For some reason, you guys watching the movies, like you really want to see like every inch of what's inside there.
I don't know why, but that's what you
guys want.
But you don't
want
to hit it with light. You don't want to hit it with a woods light, one of those black lights. You hit it with black light, you will run out of that building. All right, Ozzy. I understand that you're here, Ozzy. You ready to review your movie?
Yep.
All right, so this is a porn movie, The Triple Exorcist. Yes, he saw it last night.
I hope he liked it.
I hope his five children enjoyed it in their small apartment.
Maybe
go ahead,
you could do
Ozzy.
Something, Joanna, to ensure he gives a good review.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The Halloween movie that I watched last night was The Triple Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Joanna Angel. It's Regan Teresa Manfield.
Manfield. Right.
And Tommy Pistol is Father Merkin.
Tommy Pistol is Father Merkin.
What was her character's name? It sounded like my name almost.
It's taking the information.
Yeah. Joanna, she's Regan Teresa McPhail.
Yeah, I believe in the regular Exorcist, it was Teresa McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
So I am Teresa McPhail.
Ah.
Listen, let me just give this word out to all the porn. We're not watching you to get a laugh. We'll watch Jon Stewart if we want to get a laugh. You take your pants off and start effing. That's what we need you to do. Stop trying to weave the humor in. And as a matter of fact, I don't want to laugh when my pants are down.
Oh.
It ruins my stride.
I like making people laugh, though.
As I was once told, less wit, more teat.
Mm-hmm.
It rhymed the way it was told to me.
Right.
Okay, continue.
The Triple Exorcist is a porn movie that is a parody.
Parody.
A parody, the original movie.
There you go. Perfect.
The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, Regan licked green liquid from the old hole in the body. They make it.
That's what happens when you're possessed.
I understand.
He make it hair and infomania.
What word is that?
They make a hair, he, you know, in a nymphomaniac.
Oh, nymphomaniac.
Nymphomaniac. Harry Clee is here missing sex with boxing.
Sex with boxing. Here's the clip.
Someone who's supposed to be celibate. You sure know what you're doing. You ready for round three?
No. But I must continue the Lord's work. To complete the sexism.
Wow, that was wonderful audio mixing. I recognize Dick Nibbler's work anywhere.
In the movie, Joanna Angel, acting was no good.
No good?
What?
She looking nasty. She looking very good.
She's beautiful.
Wait a minute, you just said she looked nasty.
Well, in the movie. I was possessed. I mean, what if I looked like this in a movie where I was supposed to be like a possessed girl? I mean, that wouldn't be appropriate.
So you mean you're all scarred up and cut up?
Do you have the poster? We can show
I'm looking
you.
At the poster right here.
Right, so that's what I looked like in the movie.
Oh.
I think I look beautiful.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I am sincerely.
Some people are into that.
Some people.
Yeah. Mixing sex and death is not for everyone.
I'm just saying, like, I don't want to see somebody who looks like they got into a motorcycle accident than being effed. You know what I mean?
Have you ever been possessed? I mean, that's what happens.
No.
Your skin gets bad. You start acting all crazy. You know, your hair gets kind of nappy.
Yeah. I feel like I would like to do a convention where I get all the porn people together and explain to them what Johnny Consumer wants. We don't want the humor. We don't want lesions. We want good old-fashioned sex.
But it's
make
a
it
Halloween
quick.
Movie.
Use your sea light.
He doesn't
and let's
care.
Let's wrap it up. Bring it on home. I got kids to
you
raise.
You want your meat and potatoes porn.
Yes,
just the meat, actually. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Here is other clip you want
what?
From the movie.
Another clip?
Other clip, yep.
You will never save this soul.
I have a sexy
no
voice.
Choice. I must perform a sexorcism. We're going to have to the hell out of you.
Is that the alien from the Caravel commercial?
I just got it, though. He has to F the hell out of her. That's how he exorcises the demons.
Right. Again, more useless plot. We just don't need it.
I like a plot.
You do?
A little bit.
See?
Well, then you don't like porn, sister. Go ahead, Oz.
The Triple X Exorcist is a porno movie more nasty than anything I've seen in my short life.
Really? You've never seen? And let me tell you something.
It's a sacrilege.
It's sacrilegious.
Yep.
Or sacrilicious, depending on who directed it. But Ozzy, you come from Nicaragua. War-torn Nicaragua. You've seen it all. You've seen the Sandinistas and the rebels. You've been tortured yourself at the hands of the rebels, yes?
No, I say in sex. In sex.
On sex.
Yeah.
You've never seen anything this nasty.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
My wife was not happy about the watching this movie.
Yeah. Well, neither was the nine-year-old.
She's Christian.
Oh, she is?
Yeah. She say I was nasty guy.
Mm-hmm.
She say the producer Jimmy was nasty too.
Oh, Jimmy Prescott.
Yeah.
For forcing you to watch
my
this.
My wife was mad to me.
She was mad to you. What the? Ozzy, what is the noise you make to summon your wife? You see, it's genius.
But he can find her anywhere.
Everyone needs a noise because if you're in some crowded department store and you lose your wife in the bra section and you want to get back, Ozzy, you just do this. Right, where I'm like, hey, Lynette! And then everyone looks at me.
It's embarrassing.
That's right, but you do the pop, pop. She comes running. She does it at my house every Friday. She could be on the roof cleaning the gutters out. Ozzy walks into the entry hall. She comes flying down the chimney.
And now she's angry because she had to watch the Triple Exorcist.
Yeah. Where were the kids, Ozzy? Where were the kids when you were watching this?
I live in outside. I close the door.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the lobby.
In the lobby?
Yeah.
The lobby of the apartment?
Yeah.
You actually threw them out of their apartment and told them to go sit down in the lobby?
What age is
all
the kids?
All because of my movie?
What's the littlest kid?
1, 4, 3, 7, 26, 29, 51, 28, 14, and 3 months.
Okay. All in the lobby.
Yeah. Now, what are the ages all your kids, Ozzy?
My big one is 19. My daughter Elie make 18 next November. Mm-hmm. This November, and a Henry 13 year.
Okay. And you told them all head down to the lobby.
Yeah, all in the lobby. And my wife too.
Oh, you put your wife in the lobby?
Yeah, my wife don't like this movie.
Well, he needed some quality time with himself.
That's right, having a little what he calls an Ozfest on his love seat.
One man Ozfest.
The film movie I watched, you know, I know you said cream.
Uh-oh. All right, so what did you think overall of the movie, Ozzy?
The Triple Exorcist left the reviewer super cold.
Super cold, wow. We hope you did not end up too confused. Joanna Angel, porn star. Normally the movies just leave him cold, but this left him super cold.
Has anyone ever gotten that review before?
No one's ever been super cold.
I'm proud.
Yes, it's the equivalent to minus 4 stars. It's not a half star or 1 star. This is into the negative.
I respect that.
He's going to have to thaw his genitalia out before he goes to the bathroom.
That's
Joanna,
an accomplishment.
Well, look, like I said, what you don't want to do, you either want to be at the top or you want to be so bizarre that people just have to go see it. That's
exactly.
The Triple Exorcist. It is out, joannaangel.com. Always good seeing you, Joanna.
It's good to see you, too.
We will take a quick break. Sean Wayans is coming in a couple of few. Also, we got news and sports coming up. New segment called What's Wrong With This Country. But first, we'll just have a chat next break. I'll explain after this. We are
bound by all the red. I saw a pale horse, a pale rider upon it. The name of the horse was Pestilence. The name of the rider was Death.
Happy Halloween. From the Adam Carolla Show.
Even if it killed me.
Sean Wayans on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Sean.
What's going on, Adam? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I know you have a cold, so appreciate you coming in.
Yes, I'm a little sick.
I was talking to my assistant yesterday when we're having our little post-meeting here talking about Sean Wayans, and I said, the scary movies... Is it the trilogies at 4 or 3?
How about this? We only did the 2 good ones.
Ah,
we did
you.
1 and 2.
Ah, then somebody else took it up. But do you still get a payday?
I don't get jack.
Really? Because she said $450 million generated from Scary Movie, and that's just domestically.
Yeah. It's a billion-dollar franchise. But, you know, we started it. We made people like it, and we moved on.
Are the Wayans an empire?
Are we an empire?
Yeah, I mean, collectively.
Like Star Wars empire? Like,
well, collectively, when you take, Scary Movie, and you take White Chicks and Little Man and all that, when you combine all that stuff, we're into the hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Our movies do very well. And, there's a lot of us in my family. Mm-hmm. And we are all, we're all writers. So, we self-generate. So, an empire in that way, I guess. But
well, let me ask this. So everyone is, no one has to work anymore if they don't want to, right?
We always got to work. I mean, you know, that's the whole misperception of what we do. Like, people think that, you know, once you, you know, have one hit, you know, you could quit. That's not true. Your lifestyle changes. You take care of more people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah.
Yes.
If I was to just stay in an apartment and not take care of nobody and be some selfish goon.
Yeah.
Locked away counting my money. Yeah, I could do that.
There's a little something called a nut. And what ends up happening is, it's happened to me, not on the scale it's happening to you, I'm sure, but you start leasing cars for family members, you start giving stipends to grandma, and before you know it, you get a couple cars yourself and a couple of things going on yourself. And the next thing you know, you get a nut.
Yeah.
And that nut can get big.
And then you go, man, I can't not do Scary Movie 5.
You got to make
your
nut.
Take care of Grandma.
That's right. So, you know, it's interesting. Everyone in the Wayans family is creative. Everyone's a writer, as you said. Everyone is talented. How did you guys all end up growing up in the projects? Like, I'm thinking about nature versus nurture. Your parents, I'm sure, were intelligent people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had five siblings that were all intelligent, or ten.
They didn't do it on purpose, though. I mean, you know, it ain't like they plotted and planned it. It was, you know, circumstance.
How many siblings do you have?
There's 10 of us.
Oh, there's 10.
Yeah, 10 boys and girls. And then, you know, we have the extended family, which is the nephews and nieces. And there's about 30-something of those guys.
Mm-hmm. So you got a lot on the payroll.
A lot, yeah.
Because they all didn't make it big in Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
Were there 10 of you or 10 kids at one time living in one unit of the project?
Yes, yes. It was all 10 of us under one roof at one particular time. And it wasn't for a real long period of time because there's like a 13-year age gap between, you know, the youngest and the oldest.
Right, so some people would move out.
Yeah, they were moving out.
But at
we
one,
got their bedroom and their hand-me-downs and all that stuff. When they left.
At one time and place, there were 10 siblings living under one small two-bedroom.
I was like one, two, three. It was about a four-bedroom apartment.
But it was in the projects.
In the projects, which makes it a one-bedroom. It feels like one bedroom when you're in the projects.
In New York City, yeah.
In New York City, yeah.
So now, how did that process go? Was it Keenan that went out to California and made good and then called for you guys, or how did that work?
I don't think he called for us, but what happened was he set the example. And, you know, he dropped out of college in his last year. He was going to be an engineer. Mm-hmm. And he dropped out of college in his last year. Instead of graduating, he went off to California to pursue a stand-up comedy career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that bold statement, he showed us that he was real about what he was doing, and he taught us to dream.
Now, did you get mom and dad a big house? Are they still together?
Yes, they are together, but they're together like when people get 70 and they're together. You know, you've gotten on people's nerves for so long that, you know, they love to be together just to get on each other's nerves, and
right.
then they have to be apart before they kill each other.
Yeah, at a certain point when you get to a certain age, you'd walk out, but you can't hop on your 22-year-old hot secretary,
exactly.
And you just don't have the energy to leave.
No, you don't leave, but you don't stay in the same place for too long without getting irritated. So, you know,
right.
It's like you become the parent when you're a kid after a while. You know, notice when you go home with your parents, it's like you got to tell them, come on, Mom, don't do that. Sit up straight. Why you do it? Well, don't say that kind of stuff to him.
That is funny. You're putting a bib on him.
Yeah,
you're feeding him.
Like,
you're changing the diaper.
Don't do that.
You're going to burp, Dad.
Yeah.
So Sean is going to be at the Venetian this Friday at 10:30 out in Vegas.
Yeah, doing stand-up comedy.
And is it just a straight stand-up routine, or do you bring a band out there, or do you have dancers? Is it production, or is it just straight stand-up?
Old school, straight, just me, a microphone, a glass of water, and a stool, and some jokes.
And how much stand-up did you do before you got, or did you start doing stand-up
Living
Color?
No, I started as a stand-up. That's how I got into the business. So I've been doing it for a long time. And I never really stopped. You know, even though we go off to do movies, you can't do both at the same time. But after I wrap the movie, I always go back.
Does anyone ever talk about, I'm sure they do, a Living Color reunion?
Yeah. That's been brought up a few times.
And any plans?
Not immediately, no. Not right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know I could get David Alan Grier, actually. I could get him here right now.
Could you? Maybe David Alan Grier. You might be able to get me, David, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, we could
Marlin.
Get Tommy. Yep.
And then everybody
and
else.
Tito,
would be hard.
But
and
I
Tito.
Don't think I don't think we could get Jim Carrey. And who else? Maybe, and you'd want to, you know, you'd want to get J-Lo, too,
J-Lo,
right?
J-Lo, Jamie.
Oh, Jamie Foxx. Oh.
You know.
We might be able to get Keenan. Yeah, you can't get J-Lo or J-Foe.
Yeah. You know what, though? If done right, possibly I think that it could be done.
Yeah,
you know,
why not?
If the studio was serious about it.
And what about, you know, I mean, I don't know how often you talk to Jim Carrey or Jamie Foxx or any of those people.
I see Jim Carrey. He invited us to his, But I've seen him in, like, May. We went to his party. He throws these parties.
Was he with Jenny McCarthy, his new gal?
No, I didn't see her. She wasn't there. He was there just chilling with his family. And, you know, he throws these little gatherings where he invites, you know, his friends, Ben Stiller and Judd Apatow and everybody up there to just hang out for a day. And it's fun.
Do you think, though, I mean, isn't there, if you said to Jim Carrey, listen, this is where you got started, this is your launching pad, and yes, you've outgrown this reunion, but come on, how about returning the favor?
I'm sure. I mean, you know, like I said, it's more coming from the studio. I mean, we don't have a real vested interest in putting together in a Living Color reunion. I mean, from me, Keenan Mullen, and, you know, the rest of the family's point of view, you know, that we did that and we moved on. It would be more so from the studio's, you know, point of view of trying to get something like that.
And how about Jennifer Lopez? Did you remember her?
Yeah, I remembered her. I looked at her butt every day. I was the DJ. I had the best view.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, you were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did any of the other Fly Girls become famous, or was she the only
Carrie
one?
Carrie Ann is on Dancing with the
Carrie
Stars.
Carrie Ann and Abba was a Fly Girl?
Yeah, she was a Fly Girl.
Who knew?
And did you...
I stared at her butt for years.
She's beautiful.
Yeah? Did you... you know, ever make any time with her?
No. I was a DJ, man. They wasn't trying to hear me, man.
All right, but she was just a Fly Girl. Did you see something special in her? Did you see some star quality?
I seen that big old butt.
Right.
And I knew that she had something nobody else had. Was that big old butt.
Yes.
Now, she was always, Jennifer was always a hard worker. Like, out of everybody, she was on her grind. She was not playing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't really know her too much back then, but Keenan used to really say nice things about her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Perez?
Not in that way.
Perez Hilton's on the phone. Perez?
Hello? Perez? Rosie Perez?
Perez
no,
Hilton.
Perez Hilton.
He's a gossip queen.
Oh, no.
He has a website, PerezHilton.com.
What's up, Perez?
Not much. Just listening to the show as I do regularly.
Sure you do, buddy.
I love the Wayans brothers.
All right. Well, go
I
ahead
do.
And say
I,
hi
I've
to Sean
heard
Wayans.
Some stories about the Wayans brothers, and I wanted to see if you can shed some light on them. The juiciest one that I
we'll
heard.
We'll see about
was,
that.
Back in the day, according to word on the street, the brothers used to throw pretty wild parties back up in their pad. Is there any truth to that?
Wild parties?
Yeah, pretty wild.
Do you have any details, Perez?
Like, what's wild?
Like, it was kind of big sex parties.
Hell no.
No sex parties?
Nah.
Never, not once?
No.
Now, who
have you been to one?
A sex party?
Yeah.
Like an orgy?
No.
Like a swingers party.
A swingers party? Me? No.
Hey,
no.
Where are the white women at?
No. I'm SW1, man. I was a DJ on In Living Color. And if that was going down, I wish someone would have called me up.
Did you live with Marlon? Did you live with your other brothers?
Me and Marlon used to share an apartment in the Valley. Mm-hmm. But none of that was going down.
We can mail San Fernando Valley.
You made it sound
of the world.
Like we had it popping. Nah.
Are you married now, Sean?
No, I'm not married, but I have a girlfriend and three children.
Ah. And are you going to get married?
I don't know. No rush to do it. Just enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. Now, the three kids from the girlfriend?
Same girlfriend.
Really?
Yep.
And she's not pissed off, huh?
Nah, she's happy. You know, I love her. She loves me. We got a beautiful family. It's not
She wants to get married, though.
No, she doesn't.
That's what they say. Because if they push, you
freak
out.
Well, I'm not going to nudge her every day and go, hey, do you want to get married? If I got to take her word for it, you know?
Let me tell you something about women, all women. This is how they were. If you talk to her and go, why aren't you and Sean married by now? She'd go, well, you know, we believe that we don't need a piece of paper from the government to explain to us. That's my line. Right. But if you asked her today... She'd say you guys could go to Vegas and get married tonight.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Would she marry me?
Yeah, I think she would marry me. But it's like I said, I grew up with my mother and father married, and that ain't always the key to happiness.
No.
So you want to find a good relationship that works out between two people, and you don't really have to be married.
I'm just saying. Eventually, how long you been with her?
Like 10 years.
She should start getting bitter soon.
She's not. She's great.
How about when you guys go to a wedding? She's got a puss on the ride home.
We don't really go
right?
to weddings.
That's smart.
We stay out of that.
You go to a wedding, she'll be angry. You'll be driving home.
Yeah,
she won't be talking to you.
We avoid weddings. We don't do that.
Good.
Mm-mm.
That's right.
Weddings stir up those conversations. That's how you end up in argument.
That's right.
And it's real subtle. So that was a beautiful ceremony.
Yeah.
They look happy. Yeah. You know, one day, I think it'd be fun if we got married one day. I mean, not now.
The other thing you can't do is you can't go out of town to somewhere romantic because they'll be angry on the ride home, too.
Why?
You guys go to Santa Barbara for the weekend. Well, you guys have been together for 10 years. Maybe she's over it. But if you've been dating somebody and you're pretty serious and you've been with them for 2, 3, 5 years and the woman is 27, 28, 30 years old, you go to Santa Barbara for the weekend and you don't pop the question, it's going to be a long ride home.
Really? Why is Santa Barbara got to be the place where you got to pop the question?
It could be Palm Springs. Could be any little weekend trip. But if you go away somewhere romantic and you've been together for a long time, each time you leave the house, she thinks maybe he's going to pop the question.
I think after you have 3 babies, I think all that stuff is, you ain't think about that. That's different. That's when you first meet.
Right.
When you first meet, then it's like, oh, we're going away.
So she wants to get married, but you're not going to get married.
It ain't even that. We have a mutual
understanding which is she wants to get married and you ain't going to get married. That's the truth. You know how
it goes. I love my girlfriend.
Listen,
I love my family.
I commend you on being able to get away with that.
We're good.
Whitey can't pull that one off.
Whitey can't. White guys get married too quick.
We
look
can't
at
pull
Robbins
that off.
Look at Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon.
I really
They're not
think
married.
You're a keen chick. Let's get married. I only knew you an hour. It's like, hey.
Keen.
Brothers is a little bit different. We take our time.
Yeah.
We got to get to know you.
Yeah.
A whole lot of honkies in here.
Ten years is a long time.
Well, I'm still figuring some
friends.
Things out about her character.
Sure.
You know?
I wish you weren't a liar.
I'm just saying that the two advantages, you know, and it's not, you know, being a brother doesn't have many advantages in this white racist society we're all living in. But I'll tell you the two advantages.
What?
Well, actually 3. You get to wear crazy hats. No one gives you a problem with that.
Do you really envy that? Do you want to wear a crazy hat?
I do. If I showed up with a fur hat on, I'd get yelled at.
Well, it all depends on how you wore it. Your
swagger. That's my point. Whatever it is, you guys have hat carte blanche. You get to wear whatever hats you want.
I think pimps carved that out for us years ago.
Whatever. They laid the groundwork many years ago. Now it has trickled down to just your average brother.
The Flavor Flav's hat with the horn.
He wears a Viking helmet. No one gives him a hard time.
He doesn't even know what a Viking is.
You realize that if Clay Aiken wore Viking helmet, how much crap he would get from his fans. So you get to wear whatever hat you want.
I could actually see Clay Aiken with a Viking helmet.
So could I. He looked like
somewhere
Celine
up
Dion.
In San Francisco with a Viking helmet on.
You get to smoke spleef wherever you want.
Weed?
Yeah.
Actually, I see more white folks smoking weed
but
out in public.
We hide.
No,
we,
you guys
we turn
stand
our
on
back.
The... No.
Be cool, we
no,
say.
No.
Yes.
See, brothers go away and hide somewhere and then come out smelling like a damn weed.
Oh, really? Check Kimmel's green room one of these days.
Oh, yeah, I've been
Snoop
there.
Dogg and company's
I've
over
been there.
There.
I've been there. You get high just going to sit down and get makeup.
Sit on the sofa and it releases some of Snoop's smoke. You get to smoke weed. You get to wear whatever hats you want. You get to smoke weed. And the other thing you get to do is have kids, but not really get tied down.
So, Adam, we get to be cool.
That's what I'm saying.
So you got the hat to the side, the weed,
I feel
and
like,
the kids.
Cool. I feel like I need to do some speaking at the next rally, you know?
You could be down.
If Reverend Sharpton has got people worked up into a frenzy, I'll come in there and calm them. Listen, hold on. Quit your complaining. You get to wear hats.
You get to smoke weed.
Yeah, we got baseball caps and yarmulkes. That's nothing. You guys, big fur bowlers, and I mean,
hey, it's confidence, man.
You get to smoke
it's all
weed.
Confidence. Flavor Flav, do you think that he's a great dresser? No, but in his head, he thinks that he's the cutest, sexiest dude alive.
Actually, it's
and
on
that's
his
what
head.
Works.
Yes, I know.
But it works for him.
Well,
and,
I'm just
and
saying.
You guys buy it.
I would love to wear a Viking helmet. And by the way, last time I checked, no black Vikings. I mean, Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
But
right.
No guys named Jan, Sten, and things like that, and Sven, who were Vikings. Sean,
What's up, man?
We're going to see you Friday. At the Venetian, 10:30.
Yes.
An evening with Sean Wayans. I hope you bring up the hat.
I'm going to talk about the hat. If you're there, wear the hat, and I'll get on it for a minute.
Venetian.com is where you go to find out more about this Friday at the Venetian. Perez, thanks for trying to stir it up, Perez, but sorry, no orgies, evidently, for the Wayans brothers.
I wish.
Not yet.
Okay, say there may be an orgy in the future.
That ain't going down.
Me, a Click, and some hat, and three of the ways.
y'all will be outside. It'll just be you and Click and with a Viking hat on.
Sean, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon, and again at the Venetian, 10:30 this Friday.
All right, thank
fabulous
you,
Las Vegas. Sean Wayans will be right back after this.
Bye.
To discuss with people, religion, politics, and the great pumpkin.
Happy Halloween from the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed, the seaside sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Put a sock in it, would you two? Fine, you're both grounded. You happy now?
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
The little girl, Natalia's gassy.
Oh, she's are you burping her?
She's a little tootstress. It's coming out the other end. When I hold her up over my head and I put my hands on her belly, it's like it's like a fart noisemaker. I bring her out on the first, just tooting that
butt. But it's not stinky, right? Because it's just baby gas.
Right, it's not stinky, but it's confusing because I'm breaking wind quite a bit. Now, the kids are breaking wind, and last night, Molly added to the heap with a little wind breaking of her own. And the thing about dogs is, look, people complain about dogs' gas, but think about what they're eating. You know, you eat a beautiful piece of strawberry shortcake, and you turn it into all holy hell when it comes out of the other end. Dog is eating a bunch of giblets and gelatinized muscle and stuff. You know, dog's eating horse meat. Like, when you smell dog food, it smells like hell. Well, do the ass math. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. Do the ass math.
I'm doing it.
Thank you. So, Molly's letting one fly, just as Natalia's letting one go, and then I'm getting blamed. My wife wants to know what the funk's going on, and I'm telling her, well, Molly, and the dog and the daughter both broke free at the same time.
When you pick her up, do you think that's shaking the gas loose?
I do believe I can do that. So, the reason we're talking about this, that's a little sunny. Yeah, let me hear him again. I miss my boy. I wanted to get a great, I was there with a DAT recorder because I thought we got to get some of this in. We got to get some of this into the studio. But he's so jovial. He's always smiling. So Daddy burnt him with his Tipperillo until he started squeezing. So I started squealing. Don't tell the old lady.
Oh, no.
So I was doing this thing with him on the bed on Sunday, you know, with his little tootsies. Again, kids' beautiful feet. I don't know what happens. I don't know when they become train wrecks, when people's feet get so ugly, they get hairy and bunions and calluses. That's disgusting. But kids' feet, nothing cuter than a kid's foot. And I was doing that. This little piggy went to the market, and this little piggy stayed home, and this little piggy had roast beef, and this little piggy had none. And about halfway into it, I got angry. What the hell kind of lame thing is this? This is all we got for the piggies? This is all. So you don't have options when it comes to playing with your kid's feet. You got the one. And we looked it up. 1728 is when this thing was crapped out. It was first published somewhere in 1728, and it took. And it's before the internet. It's all word of mouth, obviously. Somebody came up with it. I'd like to find the guy and just take a whiz on his grave. Because this is, if you think about it, this little piggy went to the market, fine. We're off to a good start. You're grabbing the toes. He's going to the piggy. This little piggy stayed home. All right. Nah, he didn't go somewhere. It seemed like it would have been nice if he went to the carnival or he went to the castle or something, but he just hung out. He stayed put. Not the thing dreams are made of, but fine. One guy goes to the market, the other guy goes home. Then the third little piggy, he has roast beef, and then the fourth one, he gets none. He doesn't eat anything. He doesn't eat any cabbage. He doesn't eat a lovely dessert. Nothing. Just nothing. I would say, like, you know, creatively, it's pretty. It's a pretty weak effort.
Uninspired.
It doesn't rhyme. Home and none.
Yeah, it doesn't rhyme. Can you imagine the guy hammering it out, you know, staying up late, burning the midnight oil, 1727, he's writing this down. Fourth little piggy, I got it. He gets none of the roast beef that the third little piggy was eating earlier.
And why roast beef?
I guess it was considered big dining at that point.
I have a hypothesis. This is maybe a little far out, but I think this thing was written by a pig, and they said, like, too many of us are getting eaten. Mm-hmm. I'll throw them off the trail, and I'll talk about how tasty roast beef is.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Then why wouldn't you have the fourth toe eat lamb?
Mm.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Or veal.
All right, my theory isn't completely fleshed out.
Or duck or something. I'm just saying, this one little piggy, he went to the market, and the other one stayed home, and that's confusing. Is the one that went to the market, did he come home with the roast beef, or is that a totally different piggy?
Are there four piggies or two?
I had this argument with my wife last night about 7:30.
What did she say?
It got heated.
She got upset?
Well, the funny part is that it got heated. She's like, what do you mean the first little piggy? The first little piggy's at the market. Yeah, but he could have bought roast beef and then come home and eaten roast beef. They're totally different toes, you idiot. Hey, who you call an idiot, sweetie?
They are different toes. Your wife is right on that count.
She does have a good point. So that little piggy is probably a different piggy. Perhaps he went to the market earlier and got his roast beef. It's unclear. Maybe we can flesh it out on the other foot. I feel like we need 10. We got 10 toes. How about we just hop over the other foot and pick something up?
And what message are you sending to children? Your toes, they don't get along at all. One goes to market. one's a vegan, doesn't want roast beef, or they don't like anything.
Could
they
you imagine the kind of trauma your foot would suffer if your little toe decided to head off to the market while the second toe stayed put? Oh, it would be a bloodbath.
Anarchy.
Anarchy, I say.
But the kids do love when it goes wee, wee, wee all the way home.
I feel like we just need to get to that.
Just get to that. That is the gold.
Yeah, I just fear it's like this little piggy went to the market and wee, wee, wee. That's all they want to hear. They're not interested in what. And did it bring the toenail and the cuticle and the whole thing with it? So, yeah, the other one had none. And then the last one went wee, 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 all the way home. Again, now home, where did he start? And is it the one that stayed home, or
yes.
Is he going to join? Hold on. Does he live in the same piggy house as the first toe that stayed home? Is he going to join the small toe? Is the big toe going to join the small toe at home? Or is he going home to his own home?
I'd like to think all the piggies live together.
Now, who else has got some story?
I just love the part, like I said, about 7:30 last night, putting the kids to sleep and my wife and I having a heated argument. No, he doesn't go home to the little toe's house. He has his own home. Think about it.
Go ahead.
You're so upset about the author of this, you can't really hold him accountable. It's not his grave that you should whiz upon, but everyone else who didn't try and outdo him. This he created this. He wasn't clever, but so be it. It became number one. Challenge him, I say, Ace. Why don't you come up with a new one?
Smart. And again, I always wonder how horrible ideas take off. I wonder, this guy came up with it in 1728. He must have told his wife or his neighbor, and he must have went to his neighbor and went like, hey, you have a young son? Mm-hmm. You have a young daughter? I have a wonderful game to play with them. Take their shoes off and go, this little piggy went to the market, and this little piggy went with their toes, and this one had roast beef, but then the other one, here's the kicker, he had none. I feel like the guy'd go, listen, Bert, they're both dying from the plague, so I'm scared a toe may come off of my hand if I pull that crap. That's a 2.5 at best. How about you go work on it? Head out to the tool shed, whack shelf in the head with a shovel, and see if you come up with something better.
It's the man-eater of little kid songs.
Yes, Who decided to perpetuate that horrible story, Alex?
Yes, it's when he goes to market, it means he's going to go and be sold and slaughtered.
Oh,
even
is that
scarier.
Right?
Yeah, goes to the market.
Because he's a piggy.
In 1728, they didn't have a Lucky's or Safeway.
Roast beef.
So this little piggy's going to go to the market and be slaughtered.
See, my theory is now true. See, the pig's trying to throw you off the trail. Too many of us are going down. Too many of our brothers are getting eaten up.
So number this little piggy went to the market. So he went, he was taken to the market. He went to the market. He didn't go there.
Not willingly to the slaughter.
I'll explain that to my child. He's going to be gutted. He's going to be gutted, bled, and slaughtered. And you know that bacon you enjoy when I make the smiley face out of it? That's his right side. Okay. Aww. Even worse now. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
Brandon, Dave Damashek's cousin, would like to contribute. Ah. Brandon.
Hello, Adam. Hi, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
Nothing. I heard this whole the whole problem you're having with the little piggy rant, and, you know, I have a 2-year-old daughter myself. So I wrote something maybe you could read to the kids the next time you take their shoes off.
Okay.
So here goes. This giant toe is a joy and a glow because he's got 4 little pals. Let's call him Ted, and the others, my lad, will be Dave, T, Adam, and Sal. I'd like to pretend that your 5 toes are friends and they get on famously well. But the big one's a goon, one shot down by harpoon, and his toenail is fatter than hell. Your next piggy, Dave, overworked like a slave licks to pick its head's oversized callus. Dave's toenail is clean, yet black as Joe Green, and ironically shaped like a phallus. The toe that is 3 is a lovely toe tea with black flowing hair on her dome. She smells like a rose, but don't insult her nose, as she'll pack up and cry all the way home. The 4th toe named Adam is skilled with macadam and builds bridges from ankle to marrow. He bitches and moans about cellular phones and poorly placed left-hand turn arrows. That last little piggy, which should be skinny like Twiggy, is plump and is an actual hog. Sal smoked all the keef and ate all the roast beef and was last seen flogging his dog. Now on with your socks and off with the lights as you...
Working blue, but I like it, man.
It's no filthier than a pig being slaughtered.
We had to bleep out the very end.
It rhymed with
bad.
Going to bed.
That's right. Yes. You should all use
your
head.
It was a lovely poem, Brandon.
Use your head and figure it out. All I'm saying is, you know, I had a quest earlier in the year about getting the pool game Marco Polo changed to Adam Carolla. I feel like I need to work my name into this one.
I like that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. It'd be a nice legacy. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, news and sports. Yes, T, what's in the news?
Well, do you think Bush knows what Google is? We're going to find out. And also, what can't pedophiles do on Halloween?
What can't they not do? That's my question to you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
I wish I had a ham sandwich to calm my nerves.
Call 866-901-ADAM if you dare. Happy Halloween from the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here are some celebrities who are not celebrating a birthday today. It's not Rosie O'Donnell's birthday. Vanilla Ice, also not celebrating a birthday today. And there's no birthday cake for Dame Judi Dench. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
It is Vanilla Ice's birthday today. I heard it right on another show writing in this morning. I'm at my wit's end with this bit. I thought it would be funny when I pitched it. We'll have celebrities whose birthday it's not. You listen to other radio shows, they tell you whose birthday it is. I thought it'd be funny to do a bit called Here's Celebrities Who Aren't Celebrating Their Birthday. We've done at least 10 of these, and every time...
You're the one who wants to put an egg on your face,
yeah,
too.
Somebody's celebrating a birthday, and I look like an ass.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to find a celebrity who's not celebrating a birthday?
Apparently it's difficult.
Okay, let's... You know what? Well, Brasco, write this down because we'll save this for after the show because I'm not going to forget this. I'm pissed. T, I'll do my best. You do the news.
Method acting, throwing the card.
I know. I like that. Well, with the elections coming up, President Bush has been giving all kinds of interviews, talking about our safety, talking about whether the Republicans will keep their majority in the House and the Senate. Recently, he was asked the question, and I enjoyed the answer, so I'm going to play it. Do you know what Google is? Do you ever use Google? Here's what he had to say.
Occasionally, and one of the things I've used on the Google is to pull up maps. It's very interesting to see. I forgot the name of the program, but you get the satellite and you can, like I kind of like to look at the ranch on the Google to remind me of where I want to be sometimes.
He likes to use the Google now.
It's always weird when the president has heard of something. I don't know why, but it's weird. It's like if they'd heard of Catherine McPhee or something like that, it's like, wow, you know something that goes on in the outside world? That's bizarre.
It is.
Sad, but bizarre.
Well, if you'd like to know if there are sex offenders in your neighborhood, you can use the Google and find them. Here's the thing. If you are a sex offender in Tennessee and several other states, here's what you can't do. You can't go to a costume party on Halloween. You can't have a jack-o'-lantern on your porch. Can't go to a haunted house. You can't hand out treats. Why? Because you are supposed to stay away from children. And, of course, children are everywhere on Halloween. So if you're a sex offender on parole or on probation, you may not. In New York City, in fact, you cannot be out between 3 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Well, I don't. No offense to anyone and the fine people over there in the volunteer state, but as far as Tennessee goes, wouldn't it be faster to register the people that weren't sex offenders? I feel like that'd be a smaller pool and it's just easier, less paperwork, less time involved, yes?
You may be right.
Mm-hmm.
Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe. Am I saying his name correctly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are splitting up. After they met in 1999 on the movie Cruel Intentions, they are no more.
Well, I saw it on Entertainment last night, and then the proclamation, if those two can't make it, I don't know who can. And I looked at my wife, and I said, that's right, sweetie. I have something to tell you. And I was, she always knew it. What we did is we used them as sort of our couple's muse.
Right.
And if they would go on forever, then we would go on forever. But, sweetie, it has not happened. And, well, I'm sorry you had to hear it this way. Let's keep pushing forward. I'm going to leave with that porn star.
Okay, well, briefly, Borat's movie is opening up, and he's continuing to promote it. He's done a lot of talk shows, and here he is explaining how Kazakhstan is a lot like the United States.
Kazakhstan is now a very similar place to USA. For example, we are now equal society. Women are now allowed to travel on inside of bus. Homosexuals no longer have to wear blue hats. And we are very nice places. Please visit us.
Looking forward to his movie. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time. Do it, Dave.
Just as well, this has to be an abbreviated sports because the only thing of worth that's happening in the world of sports today, the opening night of NBA basketball. The Phoenix Suns pay a visit to the Los Angeles Lakers this evening to kick things off. Well, listen, I've been talking about it all morning, nay, all week, about the bit my big NBA preview. Dozens of staff members, Bert the Midnight Oil working on, Midnight Oil working on this thing. And,
not a good 80s, man.
Yes, thousands of man hours put into it. I'm really proud of it. Let's roll the NBA preview.
The hands of time, they slow for no man. Day begets night. Summer gives way to winter. The sun is set on another baseball season. And now, a new NBA season dawns. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "Live each season as it passes and resign yourself to the influences of each." Before we resign ourselves to the influences of the gift called NBA basketball, there's but one deed that must first be completed. The time has come for Dave Damashek. 2006-2007 NBA preview.
The Mavericks will probably win, but maybe the Suns. It's early yet.
Dave Damashek's 2006-2007 NBA preview.
Stuff.
A lot of work went. I want to thank everybody who contributed.
A richly hued description of the season.
Thoreau was a big NBA fan. You may
Free Thoreau. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do something we did once, I believe, although I have no memory of doing it. That's the beauty of me. It is called What's Wrong with This Country? You call up 866-901-ADAM. You tell us what's wrong with this country. Now, I don't need any softballs served up. I don't want you talking about this little piggy went to the market or left turn arrows or any of that. You tell me what's wrong in your country. Tell me what's wrong through your eyes. I'll pick it up and run with it. Believe you me. I'll do my rants. I'll do his rants. I'll do her rants. It doesn't matter. What's wrong with this country? Call in. Tell us about it. We'll talk to you after this.
I saw a pale horse, a pale rider upon it. The name of the horse was Pestilence. The name of the rider was Death.
Happy Halloween from the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. What's wrong with this country? Adam wants to know.
Minimum wage.
Healthcare.
The religious right.
Corporate scandal.
Immigration.
Taxes.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, there you go. No problem with this 80s star. Well, what was the last one we heard? Taxes? Gabe?
Hey, how's it going, Abe?
Good. What's wrong with this country?
You know, I'm glad you brought this topic up because there's something really bugging me. You know, that new bill on the smoking adding $2.60 to every pack of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just another form of making the rich people richer and the poor people poorer, you know. And I think it's going to boost the crime rate and do a lot of other bad stuff, you know.
All right. Well, you're talking about taxes. And look, it's not a democracy when you ask the entire populace to vote on something that 18% of that populace does. We do that all the time. That's how the People's Republic of Santa Monica gets along. They take it to the people. They take it to the people over there. They go, we're talking to the people. Who thinks $2 is too much for an ATM surcharge? And everyone who doesn't own an ATM raises their hand. Well, we took it to the people, and they said it was too much. Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to put it to the people of Santa Monica. Who thinks $32 is a little too much to pay for a chicken-ass parking ticket? Well, wait a minute. I see the hands going up, Santa Monica. The people have spoken. They would like it to be $1. No, wait. We're going to take another vote. How about you get $5 from the city of Santa Monica? Wait, they're raising their hands. The people have spoken. They've spoken. Let's listen to them, you pusses. And look, I got to say this. I as someone who pays an S-load in taxes, a effing S-load in taxes, I'm tired of being a pariah. You find me another situation where somebody pays the lion's share of something and then gets the stink eye from everyone else. So it's like this. Here's what we'll do. We'll all sit around a big table. And we'll all order our asses off at a fine restaurant. And you order from the bar and keep them coming. Well, let's go to the wine cellar. I'll order some nice Chardonnay and get some bubbly, too. Let's order up. Now, the bill comes to $5,000. Here's the deal. I'll pay $4,700 out of it. You 26 people, you each put in $12. Now you're giving me the stink eye? You're giving the guy who paid the lion's share of the bill, you're giving him the stink eye? Wait a minute. You guys are going to take a vote? You think he should pay more? You think he needs to pay more of the bill? Are you high? Please, kiss my ass. And when you make money, you're supposed to pretend like you don't make money. You're supposed to go, oh, yeah, we should be giving more. This whole thing where the rich people, politicians, and we got an election coming up in 8 or 10 days, and they're all out tree stumping, and they're all going, hey, man, I think the rich people, it's time that the rich folks, I think it's time that they start paying their fair share of taxes. What the hell is going on? I got to fire my accountant if that's the case. I've been paying an assload of taxes ever since I started making money. What do you mean rich people don't pay taxes? They pay everyone's taxes. They pay 20 times as much as everyone else. Well, there's this illusion that we walk around and you guys do it, the people that don't pay taxes, so you can sleep at night. This is the way you do it. You go, hey, man, that guy's not paying his fair share of taxes. Who? Who's not? When you make a bunch of money, you pay a bunch of taxes. That's how it goes. I don't know of any loopholes. As God is my witness, I've been trying, and I can't find it. So not only do you not get the loophole, you get the stink eye from the guy who's paid $4,000 last tax year. Fantabulous. Let's talk to Rob. Rob?
Yep.
What's happening, my brother?
What's up, Ace Man?
Pay my taxes.
My rant is, why the hell should I have to press 1 for English?
Yeah. That's a very good and sad point. Yeah, I don't know who thinks big picture the best plan for this country is to have no country, to have 50 different languages and 50 different cultures and 50 different street signs and 50 different types of schools with, you know, the idea that our driver's test is written out in 50 different languages is not the world's greatest thing. I want people from different countries to come to this country just like they always did. And then you learn English, and then you get along in our country. I don't like the little Ethiopias and the Alvera streets and the little, your little mini countries inside our big country. It's a team. You all show up. You may be from different colleges all over the state, but once you show up on our team, you put our jersey on and you learn our playbook. Doesn't mean you don't appreciate the alma mater. Doesn't mean you don't go to the game every once in a while. Go back to the old country. Go back to Tennessee. Go back to Iowa. Go back to the college you came from, and you go there and you sit with the boosters and you wave the flag and you have yourself a corn dog, and then it's time to come back to your team and put your jersey on. Wow.
That's right.
Powerful stuff.
Hey, we miss you at SEMA, Adam.
What's that?
We miss you at SEMA.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. When is SEMA going on?
Right now, brother.
What? I was supposed to go to that.
What is it?
SEMA is the biggest automotive show in the world.
The best of the best.
In Las Vegas. All right, Rob.
ESI Motorsports. Thank you, Ace Man. Later.
Thanks for getting the plug in. Let's see. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Prisoner David, who's calling in from a California Correctional Institute. Prisoner David?
Ace Man.
Quickly, what's going on?
Well, I think what's wrong with this country is we're not doing anything to rehabilitate prisoners. Got guys coming in and out constantly.
Mm-hmm. This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
There's absolutely no program.
How much should we spend on that recording? Yes, I know. It doesn't make sense at all, and it's one of the things, and one of the many things I sort of side with the Democrats on, which is if you're going to take a guy and you're going to incarcerate him for 8 years and you think you're going to get him a new suit and kick him back out on the streets, well, of course he's going to end up back in the joint a few months later because he has no tangible skills and he's unemployable. If you're going to have somebody captive for a number of years, let's face it, prison is sort of like school with walls around it. You might as well teach them something so when they get out, they can get a job at a fender shop doing some welding or doing some pipe fitting or something. And schools ought to do that, too. Not everyone's bound for college. You're not bound for college, and you got to learn how to be an electrician's apprentice or plumber's assistant or whatever it is. And prison should be essentially treated like schools where everyone is a horrible student and possibly rape someone. Thank you. Very much. We need to take a break. Brusket, we'll do more of these. All right. Yeah. I feel like we're on a roll here. We'll do more What's Wrong With This Country after this. Be the 10th caller right now. 877-520-9797. Be the 10th on that phone. And you can get yourself some comic relief tickets and a prize pack and qualify for the Vegas trip and all sorts of stuff. 877-520-9797.
Happy Halloween from the Adam Carolla Show.
Sign me up! Joel McHale from E's Talk Soup. Also, James Turk Report. Did I mention K-Fed? Can I mention him again? K-Fed, I love that booking. Not him, but the booking. I'm not K-Fed.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. All right, let's keep this party rolling. We're talking about what's wrong with this country. Adam?
Adam.
Yes, my brother.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what is wrong? Both of these things do pertain to the same general census. Number one, the fact of public transportation is null and void.
Yeah.
Especially here in the city. Let alone anywhere else.
Look,
number two, yes. The fact of freeways and transportation in general. It's 2007, and we're still driving around on the road. What's the problem?
We're supposed to be going around in hovercrafts or on monorails by now.
I want something.
Here's the deal. Oil has tons and tons, you know, big oil has billions and billions of dollars wrapped up in preserving their sort of way of life. They give that money, or at least a portion of it, to politicians, lobbyists, special interest groups, and they make sure when it comes time to vote on anything that the vote goes their way. Obviously, we're in a holding pattern. We've been frozen because we've been aware of this for over 30 years, and yet we've done nothing. And as far as technology goes, this is not that tall a order. When you think where we were at when we had our first oil crisis in the early 70s, now coming on 35 years ago, and you talk about the other forms of technology we had or didn't have. People were still using rotary phones. There were no computers in anyone's houses. If you wanted to listen to something, you had to take out a vinyl record and drop a needle on it. Think how far and how fast we've come in areas that were freed up, that actually had business behind them and the interest of business behind them instead of the man clamping down on them. As far as cars go, well, it's the same thing. It's gas. It's at the pump. It's a little lower octane. It costs a lot more. Internal combustion engines, four wheels, brakes, the whole nine yards. That has not really moved an inch. Sure, we have a few things that we didn't have before, but ostensibly, it is the exact same technology we had over 30 years ago, or actually, we're going into about the 100th year of the internal combustion engine. So, of course, the man is keeping us down, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't think politicians should be able to accept money from businesses that have an agenda. I mean, of course it's a flawed system. You're Exxon, you're BP, you're whoever, and you give this politician $1 million, and then when it comes time to make a vote, well, he votes the way you want him to vote, and somebody says, I think the minimum miles per gallon in the United States ought to be 26 miles. We ought to raise it to 26 miles per gallon, and the guy you gave $1 million to raises his hand and says, nay, I'll not vote for that. Of course he's not going to vote for that because he got $1 million from Exxon. It's very easy. With an election coming up, I believe that taking money from special interest groups and corporations should just be outlawed. Why are you taking money from this group? They're in the business of making money. It doesn't make sense. We've all grown up on it. We've all gotten used to it, but it doesn't make sense at all. Of course, a business doesn't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't care who's in the office. All it cares about is it continuing to thrive. And if you're selling fossil fuels and you have billions of dollars tied up into it, then you'll spend a portion of that making sure things go your way every time a vote is taken. Thank you. Travis?
Yeah?
Topic, please.
Oh, how in the United States, we are actually proud that we're an obese nation.
Well, I blame loose-fitting clothing for this because I'm telling you, when I was growing up back in the 70s and every woman dressed as a prostitute, you cram your ass in a pair of Ditto's jeans that zip up on the side and then you pack into a tube top. Guys, we pack into our Zeppelin jeans and put on our Terry Cloth shirts. When you wear jeans, put on a pair of tight jeans and eat a big meal. You'll walk around going, oh, man, I can feel my belly slopping over my waistline. I can feel how tight it is. As a matter of fact, if you're going to go out eating, put on a tight pair of jeans. You will not eat so much. Now, what's everyone wearing? Cargo pants, big cargo billowy, loose shorts, big sweatpants everywhere. That's why nurses and rappers get fat. Because they wear the scrubs and they wear the sweatpants. And when you're wearing a sweatpant and you got the sweatpant out, I figure you can get as fat as you want. It just feels good. You're like a fish getting as big as the tank you're swimming in. I say we go back to the disco days. Let's go back to those whoring days where everyone wore the tight jeans and the tight-fitting blouses. You'll see the weight will melt right off. Thank you. One more quickly. Oswaldo?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, the only one I've ever met named Oswaldo that could pronounce my name. Thank you. What's up?
My name is Oswaldo Huicochea.
Perfect.
Calling from San Diego.
Uh-huh. What is your topic?
Welfare.
Welfare.
And welfare fraud.
Yeah, well, welfare fraud is despicable, and obviously I learned in powerful lesson about welfare when my mom used to be on it, and I asked her why didn't she get a job, and she explained that she would lose her welfare. It cuts you off at the knees. Look, let's face it, when you dump money at a problem instead of get to the crux of the problem, you get to the cause of the problem, it doesn't do anything. You're just throwing money at it. I think if you're going to get welfare, that's fine. If people need to get back on their feet, they've suffered a tragedy, fine. But look, we had Sean Wayans in here. He had 10 brothers and sisters, or at least 9, 10 siblings all together, and they lived in the project. Look, you have to stop crapping out kids. The Wayans brothers all landed on their feet, but I wouldn't roll the dice that often as a society. 10 kids living in assisted housing. If you put your hand out, then we get to make the rules. That's how it goes. Have as many kids as you want. Do whatever you want with your life. But the second you say, hey, Uncle Sam, could I have a few dollars? Then Uncle Sam goes, yes, here's $628 a month. Oh, and here's some birth control. Take that as well. We'll be watching closely. What is wrong with that? Now, is that in breach of someone's civil liberties? No, they put their hand out. How do you think the world works? You go to work, you say to your boss, hey, I'd like some money. He says, that's fine, mop the floor. That's fine, work on the computer. That's fine, do whatever your job is. That's how it works. Welfare's the only place where you put your hand out. We put money in it, but we have no strings attached. Well, I like strings attached. I'd like you to stop crapping out the kids. I'd like to test your wee-wee, make sure you're not on the pipe. I'd like you to be looking for a job. Thank you. When I'm president, it shall be.
It is amazing. To the right, when it comes to welfare, to the left, when it comes to alternative fuels, just what America needs.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla for Senate.
Thank you. I'm all over the map.
He is polarization.
We will take ourselves a break, and we'll be right back with a little something called So What Do We Learn after this.
Happy Halloween from the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Sarah Silverman. I love Adam. I love Adam Carolla. I'm glad you're listening to him. You're doing the right thing.
I like that. So heartfelt. Dear, dear girl, Sarah Silverman. Well, just enough time for So What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned this morning that Dave may only have one fan, but he's adorable.
Sort of like adopting him.
Sort of like half a fan, because I think you got to crack 70 pounds in order to actually be a fan, but it's at least two-thirds of a fan. We've learned that Oswaldo's seen some crazy ass over in Nicaragua, but nothing as crazy as Joanna Angel's porn. That cut to his core. And we've learned that black guys can smoke weed wherever they want and wear whatever hats they want, and to me, that more than makes up for slavery.
Good times.
As a matter of fact, I think they owe us now. I'm sorry. Tomorrow, K-Fed on the show, and also Joel McHale from Talk Soup, Dave's Jerk List. So until next time, this is Adam saying mahalo.